previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Daniel Craig standing by the phone. When you originally were offered Bond, you had some misgivings about whether to do it or not, which is understandable. And did Pierce Brosnan actually urge you to do it?
I sat next to him at an event, and it was being mooted, and I just said to him, look, what should I do? And he just went, go for it. You got to go for it.
And obviously, it's been great. It's had challenges, all of those things. But the question, of course, because the producers are looking at me, Daniel, you know that. The producers are thinking, is it time for
they
Cochran?
Are.
Yeah, they're saying,
good,
is it?
Good, good. You should go for it. You should definitely go for it.
Thank you, Pierce.
I highly recommend it.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Five 11 in the morning, 720 WGN, huge show for you today. We're going to be, of course, checking in with all things Paris to find out the latest on the Paris attack. Steve Burness with us later on this hour from the Better Business Bureau. And we spoke to David Arquette, who's starring in a new play in Chicago called Sherlock. We'll have a little more on that. But first and foremost, want to check in with Aaron Katursky on the program. Morning, Aaron.
Good morning from Saint-Denis, which is just north of Paris. There have been police raids and an operation targeting the alleged mastermind of the Paris attacks going on all morning. Explosions, gunfire, and now the interior minister right here in front of me has just confirmed two people are dead, including a female suicide bomber who blew herself up during this police operation. It started at about 4:30 in the morning local time and just concluded now. And the interior minister confirms two dead, although it does not appear that they hit the target, the alleged mastermind of the Paris attacks, Abdelhamid Abaoud.
That was my next question to you. So Abdel was not part of this particular raid, or he was not one of the victims, one of the two
he
who blew
the
themselves up?
He was the target of the raid.
Yeah.
He was the target, certainly, but they do not appear to have gotten him. We're still, I can't hear the interior minister. The scrum of the press is huge around him, but he is speaking now after an operation that lasted for a number of hours, 6 hours or so, and the entire town is pretty well sealed off with heavily armed police and soldiers deployed in the streets, residents woken up by the sound of gunfire, but then not knowing exactly what was happening.
Boy, this is, it's unbelievable. And we talked about this yesterday, Aaron, the speed at which they were able to identify many of these attackers. I know they haven't found the mastermind yet, but the speed at which they were able to identify these suspects, go after them so quickly, less than a week, just days after the attack, and find who they were.
Well, it's quick police work, and yet the fact that they thought they had to look for the mastermind literally 12 minutes north of Paris seems to me like he slipped right under their nose. We don't know where he is now. At first, it was thought he had been in Syria, and if that's true, then somehow he was able to sneak into France and coordinate the attacks right where they started, at Stade de France, the big soccer stadium where the explosions began.
Aaron, we're going to let you go. I know you're right in the middle of everything. Thank you. We'll check in with you a bit later on.
Okay.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky, who is literally right in the middle of the melee and what's going on. The big news is this morning just happening in France that two suspects are dead after these police raids in coordinating last week's deadly attacks. France continues to move on. Yesterday, the Eiffel Tower was closed. It's reportedly going to be open today. Same with the Louvre. We'll keep you updated on that as well. And a big show of support, very symbolic yesterday. Prince William was going to Wembley as France played England in a big soccer match, a football match. So we're going to check in with Fred Weintraub, who is all things British, our British correspondent, who's over there and attended the game. So we'll
Did
check
you see
in
the
Fred.
Two teams joining in a chorus of Le Marseillais?
It was... You got chills listening to that, didn't you, Dave?
Absolutely.
It was beautiful. Yep. So Fred was at that game. Prince William was there. It was very symbolic. We're going to ask him what the mood was like in that stadium, although I'm sure, hair-raising is going to be probably how he'll describe it. We'll talk to Fred right after Mary's traffic. It's 5:15 right now. Mayor, what's going on with the roads? Five twenty. 5:20 in the morning, 720 WGN. This is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve's actually off today. Nick DiGilio will be in after the big story at 5:35 to kick off the rest of the program. Mary, your traffic was sponsored by Snyder Insurance and Financial Services, so we thank them for that. So as we were talking just before the break, Dave and I were chatting about the soccer game last night. The football game is France played England. Very symbolic. Prince William was at the game. So was Fred Weintraub. Morning, Fred.
Good morning to you, Andrea.
How symbolic was that, that Prince William was there? And talk about the ceremony where they all joined hands and they were singing together.
I think if you did not have goosebumps when they started singing, when everyone in the 70,000-plus stadium started singing the French national anthem, which was brought up on the screen so that English people that, who did not know the words would be able to sing along, when you heard that, you had to feel like the world was a united front. So pretty amazing feeling for everyone in the stadium. And then to see Prince William come out with flowers and place them at the pitch, knowing that he was clearly sending a message that the UK and France and other parts of the world would not be stopped by this terrorist attack. It really had a strong impact into everyone who was at the stadium.
Fred, sorry, I thought you cut out there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, goosebumps. Dave and I were talking about when they were playing the national anthem and everybody was singing along. You can hear the crowd just chanting along and singing along as well. It was beautiful. I know David Cameron has been at the forefront in trying to lead the attack against ISIS as well. Is the UK doing enough? I know the Prime Minister met with Parliament yesterday as well, earlier this week.
I think the journalistic answer is the UK is doing what David Cameron and the government hopes is enough to try to help against the terrorist fight. But behind the scenes, David Cameron is saying, no, we are not doing enough. And he is lobbying Parliament like he did yesterday to try to bring back another vote so that the government of the UK will go in and will bomb Syria. So it's all a process here. So the real answer to the question is no, David Cameron probably does not think his government is doing enough, and he's taking steps to see if he can turn the minds of his associates in Parliament, just as the President of the United States would try to go into Congress and do the same type of thing. The other interesting thing is, as you walked into Wembley Stadium last night and as you walked away, you saw huge amounts of security that you haven't seen since the 2012 Olympics. As I walked out of Wembley and I counted how many police officers had machine guns, there must have been 80 in the small area where I was. And the reports from the police this morning are their orders were, if there are any terrorist attacks or there's any problems, the order is shoot to kill. And you can't have left Wembley Stadium last night having not felt somewhat secure in the fact that the UK was doing the best they could to show that they will not be stopped, that the 70,000 people will be safe. Now, will they be safe? Are people who go to those kinds of stadiums safe? There's only so much that any government can do and any police force can do, but if the UK could show any type of united front and do it with extra security, they clearly did it last night.
I figured the security would be beefed up as well because it was at a football game or a soccer match. But do you feel safe? I mean, I know right now, I mean, you're a journalist as well. I mean, is it safe for reporters and journalists? I probably know the answer. It's probably a leading question. But do you feel safe?
The answer is, as a journalist, yes, I feel safe because, as you know, journalists kind of turn off their emotions when they have to and go into areas that that may not be safe or situations that may not be safe. As an average citizen or as an American walking around London, the answer is, yeah, I feel as safe in the UK as I do anywhere else in the world. That being said, and a great example is what's going on in Paris today. There are so many cells in so many neighborhoods, in so many countries around the world with things that are going on that are ISIS-related that intellectually you can't feel safe, but the human spirit suggests that, you know, we will go on and we have hope, and we turn our back to a certain extent on what we don't know. So because this is hitting home for people in the UK and for people in the United States, because it's reasonably close to home, in other parts of the world, other bad things are happening, mm-hmm. and people say, oh, that's happening over there, so we let it go. So the answer is yes. On a day-to-day basis, I feel safe, and I think Londoners will feel safe. When you talk to Parisians and you listen to the reports today, they're saying yes. They're feeling afraid that this has clearly been an international shock to the system, but that doesn't mean that they're not getting out. And you will see, or at least the appearance is, that every single day, more and more people are getting out. What will be interesting to note is how this will affect tourism going mm-hmm. into the winter season and then into the summer season, and that's yet to be determined.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to have to watch for. Fred, thank you so much. Be safe, and we'll talk to you when you're back.
My pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Love talking to you, as always. That's Fred Weintraub, who is our British correspondent overseas. And he's based in Chicago, of course. He does a lot of work for You and Me in the Morning and with Melissa Foreman and Jeannie. But he's over there at the was at the game last night. So very moving to see that. So thank you for that report to Fred.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Good morning. Hey, Nick DiGiulio here, filling in for Steve Cochran on a, what day is it? Wednesday, right? It's Wednesday?
I do the same
Wednesday.
Thing every day.
It's Wednesday, right?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday.
I don't know.
It's the 18th.
The 18th.
It's
of,
Wednesday.
September?
November.
November. All right. We're starting off well.
We are.
How are you guys doing?
Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be seen. We're here. It's me, Nick DiGiulio, and for Steve Cochran. Andrea Darlis is in the newsroom. Well, she's here,
yeah.
But she's doing the news.
This is our little makeshift newsroom.
It is nice.
my digs.
Dave Annett is on sports and Mary Vanderbilt in traffic. Kevin Powell, Mr. Olive Loaf. Oh, actually, Maximus. Have you guys heard that his nickname is Maximus?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And Ross. Hey, Ross. There you go. Hi, I'm here. I'm filling in for Steve. Steve is, where is Steve? What's he doing?
He's undercover.
Oh, that's right.
He's golfing in this nice weather.
He's golfing. He's going to get in around 9 today.
I don't think he's going to be playing today.
No, I don't think so. Boy, it's nice out, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
Like a monsoon out there.
It's just night.
Lovely.
A couple days from now, we'll be saying, boy, wasn't that great on Wednesday when it was pouring and really
right.
windy?
I'm always astounded at people who run in this weather. Like, you see people, because you live in the South Loop, you see people running around in typhoons.
Oh, it's crazy. You know, yesterday I had an appointment. A lunch to go to in the loop. So I walked over and it was not really raining. When I came back, it was pouring and I was kind of running along and I thought, really?
Yeah,
it's not
people
help are, anything. I thought, just
well,
get wet.
No, but I'm talking about the people who voluntarily go out in this to be. Now, Dave, how come you're not out running? I know you're Captain Shape.
Well, because I'm here. But even if I weren't here,
you'd be
running. But if I weren't here, I wouldn't be running. Not in this. No, it has to be above 40 degrees and it has to be dry.
What?
Yeah, I don't
listen to Mary.
I'll run on a treadmill. I don't like running when it's cold out.
Oh, I hate the treadmill. It's so boring.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to have like the headphones and the thing. And
no,
the,
I don't get do that.
And all those crazy little gadgets that everybody has. Speaking
hire,
of gadgets,
I hire entertainers, Mary.
Oh, really?
Stand in front of the
yeah, like jugglers and stuff
yeah,
in front
up,
of you.
Stand up.
He's got a mariachi band.
Do you ever have Cochran do a set for you while you're on the treadmill?
Good idea, though.
Have Kevin do a set for you. Kevin, can you do 10 minutes on Olive Loaf?
On Olive Loaf, absolutely, yeah. Nothing else, though.
What's the deal with the Olive Loaf?
We love Olive Loaf.
When Dave runs to the Rao Center on New Year's Eve, then you can have just Steve warm up for you for himself. And then.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Or just bring a treadmill out on stage during Steve's set.
Right. That's a better
idea. I think that would work.
That'll last long.
We got a great show lined up for you today. Lots of cool stuff. You talked to David Arquette.
I did. I got to interview David Arquette, who I know is kind of quirky.
Yeah.
Boy, he was the nicest guy. He's going to play Sherlock Holmes. Nick, this sounds right up your alley. He's going to play.
I don't know why I find that so amusing.
He's going to play Sherlock Holmes. It's next week, Broadway in Chicago. It starts, and he brings, strangely, a different side to Holmes, like a comedic twist.
Yeah.
It's really
I'm a big fan of David Arquette. He's an odd dude, but I'm a real big fan of his. I interviewed him years ago
on
my show.
Oh, he could not have been nicer.
It was a hilarious interview. He had directed some horror film, and they were like, put him on the Giglio show. It's a horror movie. So I got to interview him, and he was coming home. He was on the phone. He was coming home from a club at like 3 o'clock. Well, I'm on overnights.
Right.
Like 3 o'clock in the morning, and this was when he was still married to Courtney Cox.
Okay.
And he was like, hang on, dude. I got to open up the door. I don't want to wake Courtney. And I'm like, you got to wake her, man. You got to wake her. Well, yeah, I was like, and he's like, I don't want to wake her. She's going to be mad. And I'm like, come on, man. Come on. We're live. We're on the radio right now. Come on. And he's like, all right, hang on a second. And you see him, and you don't see him. You hear him. And he walked into the kitchen. I'm like, just knock something over or break a dish or something. And he did. He knocked over something. A bunch of things clanged. And all of a sudden you hear, David, what are you doing? And it was Courtney. She obviously did not come to the phone, and the interview was over.
Right, you technically had her on
the
air.
I did. I interviewed Courtney Cox.
There
that's right.
Go.
But that's great. So we'll hear that interview.
We'll hear that interview. He's also going to be the Grand Marshal of the Thanksgiving Day Parade next week on Thursday. So
very
cool.
Yeah. Steve Burness is going to join us after the traffic here, and from the Better Business Bureau, lots of stuff coming up. We're going to talk with Dave Kaplan coming up, Karen Conti to answer all of your legal questions. Emeril Lagasse is going to join us, and he's got a new cookbook out. We'll talk about that. We've got James Taylor tickets to give away this morning, and John Weidman is going to talk about the Hawks game that's coming up tonight. And, Dave, you have a Hawkopedia.
A Hawkopedia
coming up later.
Yes.
Dean Richards will join us. There is a couple of viral videos that are out right now that we're going to talk about, one of which is a young man reviewing Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie. I don't know if you've seen this video. Have you seen it?
No. I love sweet potato pie.
Kev, you've seen it, right?
Oh, yes.
It's
enjoyable.
Hysterical. Yes. And evidently, just from this video gone viral, this guy's review of the pie, the sales have quadrupled.
Oh.
So we will hear part of that and talk about that and some other viral videos that are out and a lot of other things. I have a text question for everyone out there. And throughout the morning, we'll go back and check out these texts. The phone number and text number are the same. You can send your text to 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. My text question is this. It was a very weird weekend, obviously news-wise, and it depressed a lot of people. And I got even more depressed when I went to social media and saw some of the posts and the idiocy that was being posted. And it got me in a really bad, funky mood. And so I put on my favorite comedy, which is Used Cars. But that got me thinking, when you're in kind of a funky mood and the world isn't all that great, what song do you listen to that gets you out of that? What song makes you happy immediately when you hear it?
That's a great question.
And we'll go back to those texts throughout the morning. So it's 312-981-7200 for the song that, regardless of what kind of mood you're in, always makes you happy. We do have a first caller here, and Steve's first caller. I don't have any prized things in front of me here, Kev, but let me talk to Judy. Judy is in Lansing. Hey, Judy.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. You heading off to work? What are you doing?
Yes, getting ready for work. Okay. I started at about 6:30.
What do you do?
I'm a mammographer.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Speaking of, look at this. This is called Radio Segway. Dr. Stryker is going to join us a little bit later on.
Yeah, she'll be with us in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, how about that? Look at that, Judy. It was kismet.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. So what are we giving, Kev? What are we giving to Judy? I don't have the list in front of me, so run it down, my man.
Yeah, how about one of the black and red with white mini lights artificial desktop holiday hockey tree courtesy of Tree Time with the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees at factory direct prices. Yeah. Visit Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington or treetime.com. We'll send her one of those. Let's see what else we've got here.
Go nuts.
Kev. The Chevy prize pack, a ChevyDriveChicago.com and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, along with a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee. That's all courtesy of the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Let's see what else we've got here. How about a family pack of VIP experience tickets to the McDonald's Thanksgiving parade on State Street.
Look at that.
Between Congress and Randolph, of course, on Thanksgiving. We'll send her that. And how about a $50 gift card to Eli's Cheesecake? How about that, Judy?
Oh, awesome.
Isn't that great? Have a great holiday, Judy. And that's all for being the first caller on Steve's show, okay?
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, Judy, hang on, all right?
Uh-huh.
There you go. There's Judy from Lansing. She is Steve's first call. All right, we got a bunch of cool stuff coming up on the show. I'm Nick DiGiglio sitting in for Steve. And Steve Burness is going to join us from the Better Business Bureau right after this. And it's traffic.
Good morning, everybody. Nick DiCiglio in for Steve Cochran, who's got the day off. Some of us are speculating that he's undercover somewhere, and some are speculating that he's simply golfing.
Or both.
Or both. Undercover golfing. He's got like a...
I think if you're golfing today, you're...
undercover.
Pretty discreet.
Literally.
Hey, we want to welcome to the show a regular here that we all really dig. And it's Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau. And we welcome Steve to the show. Hello, Steve. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right. All right. We got some stuff to talk about here. Holiday travel. We want to talk about tips on how to be scam-free from that. But before we jump into that, I wanted to some of the stories that you wanted to cover. I wanted to talk a little bit about the new credit cards and ATM cards that people are receiving now. And I've just received one a few weeks ago with the new chips in them. And sort of the difference between using the cards that we have, like the swipe cards with the chip cards, and how much harder is it for a scam to happen or for them to be taken by people who are looking to steal your identity?
Well, a lot of those new chip cards are actually, some of those stores don't even have the capability, technology to use that. So basically, the card is still being swiped by a lot of the merchants, as you know, even if you have a chip card. I have a chip one, and it's rarely used. There's only one store that actually use it at, but it's actually better protection. It's used all over the world. It'll help in identity theft down the road once we get to everybody starts using it and the merchants get the machines in there as well. And then eventually they're going to switch to the 4-PIN on the credit cards as well. So that will prevent a lot of the identity theft. It's
right.
Working all across Europe. But consumers need to remember that just because you have the chip doesn't make it that much safer, because your card number still can be stolen. You still can become a victim of identity theft. It doesn't prevent anything. It just prevents somebody from unauthorizing using your card, copying your card when they have those machines, because it actually sends a code every time you enter your card into that machine. But a lot of the merchants don't have it. They're still using magnetic stripes on the back, so your card still can be used on the internet. It can be stolen and used on the internet to purchase things, because that card's not going to do any good on the internet.
Steve, the other thing that I want to mention in terms of those cards with the chips in them, the card that I got from my credit card company was an entirely new number, had an entirely new expiration date. And it's kind of important that people know that this will happen, especially if you've used that card on a monthly basis to pay a bill. Because if you have to change all that information, don't forget to do that with the companies that you're paying bills with, because otherwise you'll be behind on your payments.
It happens all the time, exactly. When you get a new card like that, especially with the new chip cards, you are getting new numbers and you can't use the old card. And sometimes you end up by going to a store and getting declined. And that's how you know that you should have received a card or authorized your other card. So you got to be very careful and contact everybody that has those monthly subscriptions to you, because those will start bouncing. And sometimes, people have their mortgage and other bills on, automatically debited too. So you got to be very careful.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Better Business Bureau tips for scam-free holiday travel. A lot of people do travel, obviously, during the holidays, and they'll be starting next week with all of this, with all the travel. What are some of the tips you guys have?
Well, millions of people are looking to travel, so we're seeing a resurgence of the scams of on the social sites and emails saying that these great deals. They're not great deals. There's our scammers behind it. They basically want your credit card number to steal your identity. And some of them actually have been actually having properties where you say you can rent this property for a week around Christmas, but it's not the property. They just use fake pictures, and basically they're trying to get you to wire money outside the country because they want you to rent the place from them. So they say you got to wire money because we're not in the country, and we'll send you the keys. But anytime, what we call the tip-off to the rip-off, is anytime you wire money outside the country to somebody you do not know, that is most likely 100% a scam. So be very careful on that aspect of it. And those free travel offers, give us your credit card number, we'll get you better deals and things of that nature. You just got to really check those companies out. A lot of those are scammers, and some are not truly companies. They're just scammers stealing your credit card number.
Okay. And you just have to be vigilant in that regard, right, Steve?
Yeah, vigilant and watching, obviously looking up the company with the Better Business Bureau first and foremost. But if the offer seems to be true, it usually is. If you can't get a regular deal, why is this one $1,000 cheaper? Or why is this airline tickets free? There's nothing free in today's world, as you know.
Stephen, and now with Paris, obviously, so many of the airlines, I know if you call and you say, I really want to reschedule, or, you just have, I would think you would just have to call and speak to somebody about that instead of trying to do everything online. Would you kind of go that route too?
Exactly. Calling them, they'll work with you in any way they can. We're more concerned about the scammers that are trying to sell you the tickets, though. Those are the ones that saying they have great deals. But again, dealing with the airlines, you have to cancel. You can talk to them directly, and hopefully they'll work with you in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. Steve, now, before we let you go, the Better Business Bureau has a new scam-fighting tool that you guys are launching. Tell us about that and how that's going to help.
It's an international website, so it's BBB.org, which is our website. On the top right is the scam tracker. The Better Business Bureau now has a comprehensive ways of tracking scams on a global level. So, for instance, in Las Vegas, a lot of the scammers come out of Las Vegas are the telemarketing scams. So if you receive something in the mail or on the Internet and says it's from Las Vegas, you can look on the scam tracker and see what's coming out of Las Vegas, what kind of scams they are. And you put the keyword in. So if it's travel, Las Vegas, you would travel Las Vegas. It'll show you who the scams are coming out of Vegas, what other people have said, and even in Chicago, what scams are really happening here today in Chicago. For instance, if you go today to our website, you'll see the IRS scams where people call up saying they're from the IRS, that you owe them money, is topping our scam tracker list as well. So it really gives you a global scale of the scams, especially where they're happening. It's a heat map on our website as well. It's pretty cool. It lights up darker when there's a flurry of scams happening on that region. So you can go look at it and match up the company or the website or the phone number, because a lot of scammers change their names. So every day, it's a different name. So it's really hard to track scams. This is a new way of helping consumers track scams, reporting scams, and also tracking if you should get something. You can look it up, and hopefully you won't be scammed.
That's great. Steve, always great to have you on, and always doing great work there at the Better Business Bureau. Check out BBB.org, BBB.org for all your needs and for that scanner. Steve, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you very much.
All right, take care. There you go, Steve Burness from Better Business Bureau. We'll take a break. We have the news coming up.
Sweet baby James Taylor is playing Wrigley Field next summer.
Whenever I see your smiling face,
and I've got a pair of tickets to go see it.
Carolina in my
heart. We'll give them away at 4:45.
James Taylor at Wrigley Field. Win your way in at 4:45 this afternoon with Rokan on 720 WGN.
Want a tip to help you enjoy the holidays? It's not the perfect pie recipe, but it is a way to keep your celebrations from being destroyed by sewer backup. Hi, it's Lou Manfredini here with a tip from PermaSeal. Sewage backup into your home is a serious problem that can happen when your sewer line becomes clogged. During the holidays, overuse of garbage disposals and paper products can be the culprits. This disgusting problem can be avoided when you call PermaSeal today at 800-421-SEAL. PermaSeal technician will rod your sewer line if conditions allow and eliminate blockages. To help you check one more thing off your list, they're offering a holiday special. Call by November 30th and pay $199 for your sewer rotting service. Call 800-421-SEAL so you can relax and perfect that pie recipe. That's 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net. Restrictions apply. See your PermaSeal.
There was a lot of fierce fighting around 4:30, 4:15 when this raid was launched.
The French Interior Minister said two people have been killed after the operation here in Saint-Denis, just north of Paris.
What they are telling residents is to stay indoors, and they've been very forcefully pushing the media and residents away from that area.
Live from downtown Chicago, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Morning. Nick DiGilio here, in for Steve Cochran, taking the day off, so it's me here. 312-981-7200 is both talk and text, and I got some texts coming in. I sent out a text question for you folks if you want to help us out here. And when you're in a funky mood or a bad mood or a weird mood, what song gets you out of that mood? That's the text question of the morning. And if you're in it doesn't matter what mood you're in, as soon as you play this song, you get happy. And we need to hear happy songs, especially after what we just heard coming out of France. Now the raid pretty much it lasted hours throughout the night.
It lasted a couple of hours, and we were saying earlier too, Nick, is that I was just amazed at the speed at which they identified all of these attackers, and you know they figured out who the mastermind was very quickly, went after him, raided a building that he was believed to be hiding out in Brussels, Belgium. That did not turn out anything. They're still looking for him. They thought they might catch him in this particular raid. They did not, but they did. There's two casualties who were also suspected to be part of the attack last
Friday.
And
this took place, this raid took place just north of Paris.
Saint-Denis, yes. It's a suburb of Paris, will. Yeah, just outside of the big city.
The mastermind that they're targeting is still at large.
He is still at large, yeah. Right. They don't know. They think he has crossed the border and is somewhere in Belgium, but at this point, he could be back in Syria. They don't know.
Okay. Keeping an eye on that. And, you know, any developments, obviously, WGN will be on top of it.
But you're right. It was a seven-hour operation.
Yeah.
I mean, so it lasted through the evening hours.
Okay. And that raid has ended, but we'll keep you posted on the latest, everything that's coming out. By the way, if you want to get more news stories and keep abreast of everything that's happening in the world, you check out our website and our podcast. The news is the best way to check it out at WGNradio.com. WGNradio.com. Let me give you a few of these just to get our mood back into a happy area here. Some of the songs that are coming in from the 773 area code. Nick, good to hear you in Steve's spot today. Former intern Tim. Oh, hi, Tim. My favorite pick-me-up song, although admittedly cheesy, is R.E.M.'s Shiny Happy People.
Oh, I love that song.
That song makes me mad.
Oh, man. No, why does it make you mad?
Because it's just annoying.
It's Shiny Happy People holding hands.
It just makes me want to punch. It makes me want to punch puppies.
But she's not that upbeat.
Oh, don't say that.
Do you guys have a song before we move on to Andrea? Is there a song that immediately makes you happy if you're in a bad mood?
I have to say, I love 80s music. So, you know, Bangles, Go-Go's, anything like that. When I hear 80s music, it makes me happy.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Mary?
I got to go with Footloose. It gets me crazy.
Footloose.
It's all 80s stuff so far here. Dave, you going to break the trend?
No.
Swing?
I can't think of a song right
Does
off the
nothing
top of
make
my
you
head.
Happy, Dave?
No, a lot of things make me happy.
Kale? Is there a song about Kale?
Northwestern fight song?
Ah, there you go.
go
oh,
cat.
Man. Yep.
That's good.
Mine.
Nick, I can the mood. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite song that makes me happy is the Beer Barrel Polka.
Ah!
Of course.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
why,
one.
That's why I love you. That's why I love you, Orion.
Okay.
That's why I love you.
And that polka, She's Too Fat for Me. I love that one.
Yeah, the Too Fat Polka?
Yeah,
Too Fat
that's
Polka.
That's awesome.
Story of my life. All right.
Oh, nice.
Listen, really, really quickly, we have a clip of you, Andrea, interviewing the very hilarious and very strange David Arquette, who's coming to town to do a show. Tell us about it.
Yeah, he's coming to the Oriental Theater to do Sherlock. It's Sherlock Holmes, of course. Great cast. You can listen to the full interview on our website, WGNradio.com. But David Arquette doing a little pre-press before the show. Says he's totally psyched to be in Chicago. Can't wait to get some Italian beef and some Chicago-style pizza. He did some work with Second City as well, which you'll hear in the interview. And then he's also going to be the Grand Marshal of the Thanksgiving Day Parade next Thursday. Yeah. And he says his entire family, they're very supportive of each other. Rosanna and all of, you know, comes from a huge acting family, and they are all going to be in town. I said, that must be quite a Thanksgiving with you. But we asked him if he's excited to be here.
Okay.
We're really excited about it. We have a great cast and crew. And Sherlock Holmes is such a loved character. It's actually a humorous interpretation, so it's a little different from what people are used to. But it's a lot of fun.
I can imagine you bringing just the right of, you know, comedic action to Sherlock Holmes. I'm sure it's a different take. I mean, everyone plays Holmes differently.
I think I bring a lot of humor to it. It's a lighter sort of thing. I mean, it tends to be really very serious in some of the other interpretations. But ours is fun, and people just end up laughing, having a great time. It's a really beautiful production, and it's just a great time.
How great is it for you to be back on the stage? I mean, we know your movies, we know your indie films, we know your TV shows, but is it cool for you as an actor being back on the stage?
Yeah, this is my third professional play, and this one's touring, so it's really great to see all these different cities. We're really excited about going to Chicago. We're at the Oriental Theater, and it's such a beautiful place. I got a chance to go by a couple weeks ago, and I was just floored by how gorgeous that theater is.
Isn't it so cool? I mean, it's just so ornate. Some say it's haunted, you know.
I heard that. That'll add to the intrigue and mystery for sure. You guys love theater, and I actually lived in Chicago for a short period of time. My father was involved with Second City there, and it's a place that's close to my heart.
All right. That sounds great. And it opens November 24th. It runs through the 30th at the Oriental Theater.
Yeah, full interview at WGNradio.com.
Awesome. All right. And look for David at the Thanksgiving parade.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, cool. Let's get a check on traffic. Mary Vandeville, what's going on?
Ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Sparky? Cowboy? Dog? What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo? Dog? Buttercup? Romeo? Buttercup?
Now, your Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
That's right. Cap's Corner. Chevy Dealers Cap Corner is sponsored by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. ChevyDrivesChicago.com. If you would like to be on the Caps quiz here and find out if Dave can actually answer the question that we ask him, that Cap can actually answer the question that we ask him, send us your call in right now, 312-981-7200. It's been a while since I talked to Cap. Cap, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, my man?
Not bad, my friend. Not bad. I think we obviously need to first address the fact that Joe Maddon was named National League's top manager of the year. What do you make of that?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. I think most people thought he would win. There was a little groundswell for, you know, Mike Matheny did a great job in St. Louis, won 100 games with an injury-laden roster, so he really got, you know, the most out of what he had. And Terry Collins obviously did a great job with the Mets. But the voting takes place before the playoffs. Your ballot has to be in to be counted by the end of the regular season. So what Terry Collins did going to the World Series did not matter in the balloting. And when you look at the body of work and what Joe Maddon did, changing the culture, it was a no-brainer, and that's why he won.
It was a pretty remarkable season, wasn't it? And I know, Cap, you've obviously been a Cub fan your whole life, and it was a great season despite the fact that they didn't make it past the Mets, but it was a great season nonetheless. I think they went further than I expected them to go, way further.
Well, at the start of the year, I said that they would contend for a wild card, and they'd win 83-84 ball games. Never in my wildest dreams, and I had some people mock me for that, but never did I think 97 wins in the NLCS. No, I didn't see that coming that quickly.
Yeah. And this goes along with Rookie of the Year. It went to Chris Bryant. And that obviously was just an absolute no-brainer, right, Cap?
Yeah, that was a fait accompli. I mean, as soon as the season ended, there no doubt about it that he was going to win. Now, there's another one today, and we'll see if Jake Arrieta can win the Cy Young. It'll come down to either Jake or Zach Greinke. And the funny thing is, if you go through the analytics, just the peripheral numbers, these different categories that are now so important to baseball GMs, the guy who probably had the best analytical numbers top to bottom was Clayton Kershaw, but he's won the last two. He is not going to win tonight because he doesn't have the requisite number of wins that some voters are impressed by, and it's going to come down to either Greinke, who had a better ERA, or Arrieta, who had a historic second half. So my money's on Arrieta. I think what he did in the second half is just so ridiculously good that I think he wins it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like the difference between Greinke and Arrieta, and this is in no way to diminish what Greinke accomplished this year, but Greinke was 1.66, Arrieta was 1.77. You're really splitting hairs, and then when you look at all of the other accomplishments, because Arrieta had one of the best second halves of any pitcher in recent years. I mean, he had an unbelievable second half. What did he have, 20 consecutive quality starts to end the regular season, something like that?
It was crazy, and I think it was since August he had given up like 4 earned runs total.
Yep.
I mean, it was just ridiculous numbers.
All right, Cap, we have a question for you that we want to throw at you. All right, now let's see if you – let's first – all right, are you ready to ask this question? Do you want me to ask it, Dave?
Well, you can ask it since you're in the driver's seat here. Why don't you go ahead since we're not totally
here's the question. Before you answer it, though, after I ask it to you, I'm going to go and see if our listener thinks that you're going to get it right or wrong. Okay, Cap, you ready?
Bring it on.
All right. If, indeed, the Cubs do win these three prizes, like if Arrieta takes it today – when was the last time a Chicago team won all three? That would be a Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, and the Cy Young. Okay, hold on a second. Mike, do you think he's going to get it right or wrong? Mike?
He's going to get it right.
He's going to get it right. Look at that. You got a Cap, you got a supporter, my friend. All right.
Bring it on.
All right.
I think I know this.
Okay. Mike, hang on. If Mike gets it, whatever happens, give him something from the prize list for Mike there, Kev. All right?
You got it.
All right, cool. Okay, Cap.
Load him up, Kev.
Cap, go ahead.
I'm going to say it was 1983 when it was Tony La Russa, Ron Kittle, and Dewey Lamar Hoyt.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Absolutely yep. Right, Kev.
Nice job, Kev.
Congratulations, Mike. You got a bunch of stuff. Kev, what are we going to throw at his at Mike?
We'll give him a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets. Watch the video at lightkeeperpro.com. A Lou Malnati's gift card. And that's it for now. We'll see what else we get. That's everything.
Say thank you, Mike. Say thank you to Cap.
Thank you, Cap.
You're quite welcome, buddy. By the way, Dave, you got Northwestern tonight, right?
Yes, I do.
Who do the kitty cats have?
The Stags of Fairfield.
Go Cats. I think you might see a Teddy Valentine sighting tonight.
Oh, is that right?
I believe so.
By the way, it'll be on over on a certain other radio station tonight that
Which
you happen
one?
To be on.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'll be doing my show at noon today. Joe Madden joins me at 12:30 on ESPN 1000 and then TV at 5:30 on Comcast.
Nice job, Cap. Way to get that in. Hey, here's a question about what are you
part
looking
at? The deal, Nick.
I understand. Blackhawks Oilers tonight. Yeah, that's going to be a great game. First game of the circus trip. What do you think of that one?
I think it's going to be an interesting meeting because the Hawks have not played great away from the United Center, although they did win in St. Louis over the weekend on Saturday night, 4-2. They need to have this trip be a launching point where they come together. They've got all these new faces, these young kids. And I talked to Jeremy Roenick yesterday, and he said, this is when a team really could take off because you go out to dinner every night when you don't have a game, and he said it's a really good bonding experience to try and meld this team into one.
Got it. Cap, always great to talk to you, man. It's been a while.
You too, my man.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Cap.
See you later.
All the best, boys.
All right,
see ya.
Take care. There you go. There he is, Dave Kaplan. All right, we got to take a break. We got the big story coming up right after this on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Wow. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. That's me, Nick DiGilio, filling in for Steve Cochran. Cochran's got the morning off, so I am here as your host. And we've got a text question out there. We're going to get to Karen Conte with some legal stuff. If you want to jump in with a legal question, you can. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We also have a text question out there. And it is, when you're in a bad mood or when you're sad or upset, what song immediately makes you happy? 224 area code says, the song that immediately makes me happy is They Might Be Giants, Birdhouse in Your Soul. That's a good choice. Bad mood, happy song question. I like Everlong from the Foo Fighters and In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. Either one gives me chills. Speaking of In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel, that's one of this might be an interesting fact for you, Andrea, since you like the 80s music so much.
Mm-hmm.
In Your Eyes, which is actually one of the most beautiful love songs ever written.
It was one of our prom
I love
themes.
That song. I think
it's a beautiful song.
I think it was one of our prom themes.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm older than you. Peter Gabriel, but the other that was one of, see if you guys can name this, 80s Ladies.
Okay.
That was one of two songs written about the sister of someone you just interviewed. You just interviewed David Arquette.
Roseanne Arquette.
Right. Roseanne
really?
Arquette, that was written, yes, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel was written for Roseanne Arquette. Can you name the other song from the 80s that was written about Roseanne Arquette?
Rosanna?
Rosanna, Mr. Dave Enick, out of the game.
Your decade, wow.
From Toto, from the band
Rosanna,
Toto.
Yeah.
Weird. Why was everybody in love with her?
Wow, look at her.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, here's the deal. If Roseanne Arquette couldn't just, like, for the rest of her life go, listen, In Your Eyes was written about me.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, Rosanna, that's you know, fine, whatever. That's
I have to say, and you'll be a better judge of this, I think she's a good actress.
She's a great actress.
She's very good.
Terrific.
Great acting family.
She's hilarious, by the way, in Pulp Fiction. She's hysterical in Pulp Fiction. Small role, but she's great in it. I like Patricia Arquette a lot, too.
I was just going to say, she just won the Oscar, right?
Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. She did for mm-hmm. For Boyhood.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the song Lakeshore Drive makes me happy. Okay. Well, what else makes you happy? You know what else makes me happy is not going to court. That makes me happy. See how I segue?
Oh, that's a great segue.
I am
segue.
A professional
great
broadcaster.
Segue.
Karen Conte is here, and it's sponsored by Chicago Title Land Trust Company. Karen, how are you? Long time no speak.
Yes. Good morning. Okay, I'm going to throw in Earth, Wind, and Fire September.
Great. Great choice, Karen. Great choice. One of my favorites. I do a thing every Friday morning on my overnight show called Fly Jams Friday, where we play great R&B songs, and inevitably that song pops up all the time.
It's fabulous.
Yes, absolutely. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing well, Nick. How are you? You're out of jail. You're out of court so far.
So far. That's the key phrase right there, so far. Some legal stories that we would like to talk about. 312-981-7200 if you have a legal question that you would like to ask the great Karen Conti. The one that I want to start off with is Blagojevich. It just never ends, Karen. He's appealing to the Supreme Court to overturn his conviction. What are the odds of that happening, and what are the details that you have about this story?
Well, it's the odds are very, very low. The Supreme Court doesn't hear every single case that they're asked to hear. They get about 10,000 requests every year, and they actually hear about 50. They rule on about 80. They hear, actually, oral arguments on about half that. So the chances that the Supreme Court is going to take this is very, very slim. And they usually take cases where there's a conflict of law or there's some important big decision. Now, the question here that I think is the main question is, was this political horse trading, or was this some sort of crime? And I don't know if this issue is that important. Obviously, it's important to Blagojevich, and it's important to us as Illinois citizens. But is it important globally, and is it something the Supreme Court needs to take control of and reverse? And I just don't think it's one of those issues.
Now, I understand that an 83-page brief was filed on Tuesday. Is that an average-sized brief, Karen, or is that big?
Yes, and briefs are never brief. Let's just start with that. And yeah, and in this brief, and I've written these, and I've actually argued before the Supreme Court. So what you have to do is you have to not only convince the Supreme Court that this needs to be reversed, that it's the wrong decision, but you also have to convince them that it is of public interest and it's something that they need to take control of and make a statement. So 80 pages or so is really not that long when it comes to something like this.
Okay, and there's no resentencing date that's been set, correct, as of Tuesday?
No. I haven't heard that there has been. And on that front, the appellate court in the federal system has said, well, there's one count or two that we're going to throw out, but, you know, basically the judge could still sentence him to the same 14 years given how the sentencing guidelines are set up. So I don't know that Blagojevich has a lot of hope of getting a huge reduction in the sentence at that level.
Okay. All right. Listen, Karen, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right. Karen Conti is with us. Legal questions, 312-981-7200. We got some more legal stories that we're going to talk about in just a couple of seconds here. But right now, we got to get a check on traffic. And here's Mary. Yeah.
Fly jams make you happy.
Fly jams make me very happy. And this song makes me very happy. We were talking about our text question this morning is, what songs make you happy, even if you're in a terrible mood? 312-981-7200 for your text. That one makes Karen Conti happy. And that's our job in life, is to make Karen Conti happy. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I got this big smile on my face.
Of course.
I'm like dancing in my seat.
We were all boogie, and Dave was spinning on his head, breakdancing.
Yeah. Now I have a sore neck.
More kale will fix that.
Right.
Good.
All right, Karen, let's get back to some of the other stories that are out. Andrea wanted to talk to you a little bit about a story here.
Karen, new story out this morning, the red light camera tickets. Again, actually, these are the speed cameras that Tribune has revealed issued $2.4 million in bad tickets. So those are the ones where when you go through the school zone, they nab you if you're going too fast. But apparently they've been nabbing people at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 9 o'clock at night when there are no children present. So I guess my question to you is, can anything be done? Do you see the city at any point giving refunds? And then there's also talk of people now saying, of course, this always happens, let's file a class action lawsuit.
Well, I think the latter is going to happen. I don't see the city of Chicago taking out its checkbook voluntarily, especially when there's no money around. But there's going to be a crafty lawyer who's going to have something on file very shortly, because if those were issued wrongly and they weren't given warnings and all the things that are supposed to be given, clearly those people are entitled to their money back. But who's going to sue over $50 or whatever the fine is? That's something that's really fit for a class action suit where everyone gets together. A lawyer brings the lawsuit, and everyone gets a little bit of money at the end of the day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Would that be unprecedented if there was like a group suit like this?
Not really. I mean, you don't see it very often. But when you have these things that are automated and there's no one actually, you know, assessing whether or not it should be on or off, I guess it's not surprising that this kind of thing could happen. But you think someone would be in charge of whether those things are on or off. I don't know how that happened, really.
My favorite group lawsuit ever, Karen, was when, and by the way, Judy Pilak was at this concert that I was just going to mention, was when a whole group of people, tons of Creed fans, got together.
Oh, I was at that concert, too.
You were at that show.
Yeah, Judy and I realized after the fact we were both at the show.
And this was a lawsuit. I don't know if you heard about this, Karen, but the lead singer of Creed that night was bombed out of his mind.
Wasted.
He was wasted. And he couldn't sing. He was falling all over the stage. He passed out on stage. And there were a large group of people, hundreds, in fact, who wanted their money back. And they sued the band.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite ridiculous lawsuits.
I'll add one to this, and Nick, you'll remember this. Remember Milli Vanilli?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And apparently they were, like, lip-syncing their songs.
Right.
And because I don't know if they could sing or not, but they lip-synced everything, and lip-synced, whatever. And the class action lawyer brought a lawsuit saying this was fraud, that they really wanted Milli Vanilli to sing, and because they weren't really singing, it was misrepresentation.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit. We're in the entertainment world. Yesterday, Charlie Sheen came out and said that he was HIV positive on the Today Show. And then the question is he in legal jeopardy because he did not disclose the HIV status to some of the sex partners that he had? What's the latest on that? Is that a possibility that he's going to be getting sued?
Well, yeah, there's two parts of this, the criminal part, because most states have laws that say that if you expose someone to HIV knowingly, you could be guilty of a crime even if that person didn't get the disease. And in California, interestingly, they have a very lax law there. But I don't know if you remember the whole Rock Hudson case. That was a case where a guy was having sex with Rock Hudson. He was told repeatedly that Rock Hudson did not have AIDS, and in fact, he did. And the jury gave the kid $5.5 million, even though he didn't get HIV, just for the emotional distress. So, yes, there could be lawsuits. There could be criminal prosecution. And, you know, I think he's got a world of trouble, not only his health, but financially.
Yeah. And now let's end on this one. You know, Illinois is one of the states that has refused Syrian refugees from coming into our state. What's the deal whether governors can legally block refugees from coming in to the state? What are the actual legal ramifications of that?
You know, the states really can't do that. Immigration is, by definition, a federal issue. So once people are in this country, they can move about at will, and you can't really stop someone from coming in the state. I mean, that's not to say that our governors are going to maybe block and freeze things and try to do things and try to circumvent the law. But again, everyone who's in this country, they have rights. And unfortunately for the governors, I think, you know, they're going to be struck down on these things. And I don't know if there's lawsuits brought to enforce the laws, but you can't discriminate against people coming into this country, whether people like that or not.
Is there no? So what would a governor do? Like, what would Rauner do if he wanted to maintain this? What is there anything he could legally do to try and keep people from coming into Illinois?
I mean, the things that I'm thinking of, he could make the state not very attractive for immigrants to come into. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that the creative legislators are thinking about that right now. You know, let's let them go to Michigan. Let's let them go to different states and block certain maybe benefits to people who aren't residing here for a certain number of days. I can imagine that there's a lot of things you can do to make it not very attractive. And we're going to see that with all the states, I'll bet.
Okay. All right, Karen, what are you working on now?
What am I working on now? I'm going to actually work out now, and then I'm going to go to court this morning and fight about all kinds of stuff.
Oh, okay. But you got to get that workout in first.
I got to get the workout in first,
all
exactly.
Right. All right. Get your headphones on and listen to September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. That'll help you out.
I will.
All right. Karen, thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
All right, take care. How do we get a hold? By the way, Karen, is there like a website or an email address people can get a hold of you?
Sure. You can always email me at kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com, or you can call me at 312-332-7800.
There you go. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. Have a great morning. There you go. There's Karen Conti. We'll take a break here. We got the news coming up after this.
smiling face, I have to smile myself because I love you.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio. That's me in for Steve Cochran, who is working undercover. We don't know. It's a very secretive operation. He'll be back tomorrow morning, but I am here this morning, Nick DiGilio. 312-981-7200. We sent out a question to you lovely people this morning. What songs make you happy? And who was that sent that in, Kevin? Who loves that song?
I think I didn't get a name with it, but somebody texted that in, and it ties in perfectly
with what we're about to do.
Exactly.
James Taylor is actually going to be playing Wrigley this year. He's going to be playing Wrigley Field on Thursday, June 30th. And by the way, his special guest is Jackson Browne. So that's like a that's going to be good.
Yeah, that'll be a really good show.
Yeah, James
very
Taylor.
Very calm, very chill show.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw James Taylor and Carole King at the United Center a few years back, and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. They played.
I saw that as well.
It wasn't it great.
Was a great show.
And it was in the round.
It was really
good. And you know, it's amazing to when you watch those two artists, how many unbelievable songs each of them has written.
No kidding.
You know, Carole King is responsible for some of the greatest songs ever written.
Oh, I know.
And James Taylor as well. And James Taylor is playing at Wrigley with Jackson Browne. Here's the deal. We have a pair of tickets to give away right now.
Sweet.
Here's what you have to do, though. You have to call at 312-981-7200. My main man, Kevin Powell, K-Powell, Maximus, will be answering. Call him Maximus, by the way, when you call in.
It might be Ross as well.
And Ross.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Ross and Maximus are in there. here's the deal. People are calling in right now, but you don't even know what I'm going to do. Isn't it amazing, all these years you guys have been doing radio, as soon as you use the word free, boom, the phones light up.
Or giveaway.
Giveaway. Yeah. It's free. I have a free bag of poo. Oh, I don't care what it is.
That is true, though. But that catches your eyes even on websites, too, when you say
free. What?
You click.
Something happens in the brain when you hear free.
Do you know, my friend was actually, she was so funny the other night. She said she was looking through the newspaper, and it was an advertisement for a car dealership. Not anyone that advertises on this radio station. But if you buy a new car, which think how much money that is, right? You get a free copy. It was basically a book.
You get a free book.
You get a book.
So spend 30 grand and enjoy this book.
But that was like the big word. It said free
of course.
With that. So that's
of
what
course.
Caught her eye.
I actually directed a play that was called Free Pizza just so that we could get people to show up at the theater.
That's smart.
Well, anyway, here's what's free, though. We have free pair of tickets to see James Taylor and Jackson Browne on Thursday, June 30th at Wrigley Field. It's going to be great. But here's the deal. You have to answer this question. It's an easy one. You'll be able to answer it. Who is James Taylor's famous, very famous ex-wife? 312-981-7200. First person through with the correct answer to that question, which is, who is James Taylor's very famous ex-wife? If you get that, and you get yourself a pair of tickets to see James Taylor, who puts on a great show. The text questions are flying in. We've got a lot of answers coming in. People listen to certain songs that make them very happy. Robert says, he's from Paddock Lake in Wisconsin, says, Morning Has Broken by Cat Stevens. 312 area code says, Rush. Yeah, man, Rush. Spirit of the Radio makes him happy. 219 area code says, my song is the Doobie Brothers, Listen to the Music. That's a great song. That's
I love
a great
that
song.
One. Listen to the music.
The song that puts a smile on my face is It's a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. That's a great one.
It makes me cry sometimes.
Oh, it's a beautiful song.
It is so pretty.
It's beautiful.
But and then you start reflecting.
Build Me Up Buttercup. Now the thing is, every time I hear that song, I think of There's Something About Mary, which I think is wrong.
No, isn't that terrible, though, when a song gets associated with, like, Walking on Sunshine?
Yeah. Well, that's from what? One. From High Fidelity?
They used it. I think it was a Depends commercial.
Oh. Okay. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I think of Depends when I hear Walking on Sunshine.
I think it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
I screened a couple of weeks ago for my film club. I screened Goodfellas. And there are so many amazing songs that are used in that movie. I never, ever can hear Eric Clapton's Layla, the last part of the piano part at the end of Layla, without seeing dead bodies falling out of dumpsters and being discovered in freezers and things like that.
What was the Johnny Depp movie where he was the drug dealer and he was smuggling?
Blow?
Yeah, Blow. Yeah. That was a great soundtrack, too. But every time soundtrack. I hear Make Sure You're Connected, I just think of the scene with all the cocaine.
There you go. All right. David is vying for a pair of tickets to see James Taylor at Wrigley Field on June 30th. David, who is James Taylor's very famous ex-wife?
Her name is Carly Simon.
That's exact. Yeah, you are right, David. Exactly right, Carly Simon. You got yourself a pair of tickets to see James Taylor and Jackson Browne. Going to be a big night Thursday at Wrigley Field on June 30th.
Fantastic.
Okay, so hang on, David. Congratulations, buddy. Okay, we have to get to traffic. Shall we get to traffic? Here's Mary. In your eyes, the light, the heat. Thank you for playing, Kevin. Thank you for playing this and not the other song written about Rosanna Arquette.
Got it.
Because this is actually a really good song.
This was texted by a couple people.
A lot of people texting in this morning. And the text question, if you'd like to text your answer, 312-981-7200. If you're in a funky mood or a bad mood, like a lot of us were in a very weird mood over the weekend, at least I was. I had to actually turn off the TV and not go to social media, and I put on my favorite comedy of all time, Used Cars, because I had to. I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
You know,
it's making me crazy.
It's a situation. It was very similar to 9/11 when you were just drawn to the TV and you want to find out, want to see how you can help, you want to learn more, but it just overload on your brain.
Absolutely. So I put on Used Cars and I followed it up with Blazing Saddles. But there are songs that make you happy. And what are those songs? 312-981-7200, songs that immediately put a smile on your face. For me, no matter what mood I'm in, if I hear Don't You Worry About a Thing by Stevie Wonder, that's the one. That's the one that makes me very happy. And by the way, a fly jam, if I may say so myself. A very fly jam. Kevin is shaking his head. Maximus, you agree?
Oh, yeah. Fly Jam Friday.
Yeah. Maximus Maximus Powell. How does someone like named Maximus get the name Powell?
Oh, I knew I should have never told you.
Was that Russell Crowe's last name in...
That was his first
in Gladiator? No, I mean, was he Maximus Powell?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what he was, yeah.
I traced my ancestry all the way back to Maximus Powell, and I figured I'd run with it.
Wait, how did you get the name Maximus again? Yeah, what?
Hey, dude, you volunteered it.
This was before 5 a.m., all right? This was on the Nick D. Show.
I didn't think
it would leak into the Steve Cochran Show. When I was in seventh
lots
grade...
Lots of things leak in the Steve Cochran Show.
The movie came out. I loved it. I was a punk student. I told my teacher to call me Maximus for like 2 weeks. Because I love the movie so much.
There you go. And by the way, how old does everybody feel when they hear Maximus say that movie came out when he was in seventh grade?
I still remember when it won the Oscar. Remember Elizabeth Taylor? Was that her? She gave out the Oscar? Gladiator.
I believe that was the Globes, maybe?
Oh, it was the Globes, yeah.
Yeah, no, maybe it was.
Gladiator.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, man.
Oh, so wait, so what year was it?
99. Well, it was 2000 when they gave it. See, 99, you know, Gladiator won for that, and it was, it 2000? No, yeah, it was 2000. It was 2000, because 2000.
15 years ago.
2000, because the movie that should have won that year was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and it went to Gladiator. But there's nobody named Maximus in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
No, Kev.
And actually, it might have been fifth grade, if that makes you feel
better. All right, come on now. Come on.
Make you feel better.
You know, when my favorite movie came out, you were probably a zygote. I don't even know.
Magnolia?
Magnolia was 99, so you were in fourth grade when that came out.
Fourth grade.
Oh, that's spectacular. You guys know that you're working with people who are 15 years old? Did you know that?
I know.
Damn,
you know, it is funny, though, when we did the John Hughes story, there were a lot of interns who, you know, you'd say Pretty in Pink or 16 Candles. What?
Oh, those are classics.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, some of the
See, I was even too old when those came out.
Wouldn't call them classics. Gone with the Wind is a classic.
Oh, no. I think...
Breakfast Club is a classic.
Breakfast Club's a classic.
The classic sounds so old.
Well, it is. It's 30 years old this year.
Old.
30, a movie that's 30 years old is not old?
Gee, my marriage is 30 years old.
Well, see what I'm saying?
There you go. You know what I got to tell you, too? This is going to start a whole new storm of controversy. I didn't really even like Gone with the Wind that much.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Well, I'm not going to go out of my way to defend that movie because I don't like I don't like The Wizard of Oz. So,
you guys both go away.
Hey, by the way, Dave.
Yes.
You have a little treat for us right now, right?
Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago.
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Hey, Mr. Ennett, what's a circus trip?
Well, little Katie, the circus trip, it's not a trip to the circus, and it's not always a day at the beach, but it is sometimes. Traditionally, in November, the circus moves into the United Center, and the primary tenants, the Bulls and Blackhawks, move out right around Thanksgiving. While there was a time when the circus trip was seen as a disadvantage for the Blackhawks, now it seems like it's given them an edge and something of a team-building experience. And the results have been there. Last season, the Hawks went 5-1, suffering only a 4-1 loss in Vancouver. 2 years ago, they went 6-1. They lost the first game at Colorado and then reeled off six straight victories. The 2012 trip was wiped out by the lockout, but the year before, they started 1-3, including a 9-2 thrashing at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. But then they won the last two in Anaheim and Los Angeles, which are generally the last two stops on the trip. Whether it's the time spent together without the distractions of home, the time playing Mario Kart in the hotel, that's a video game, by the way, or the team's mini vacation to Las Vegas, the Hawks have done well. I didn't know if you knew that.
I did.
Hawks have done well. Since the 2007-2008 season, Hawks have not had a losing record on the trip. Their last seven circus trips, they're 27-12-4.
Nice.
And they have won a combined six straight in the Southern California portion, L.A. and Anaheim. So while the greatest show on earth comes to town, it's usually a pretty good show that the Blackhawks are once again going to be the greatest show on ice.
Look at that.
And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, very nice. You know, whenever I say for people who don't know what the circus trip is, now they do because of Dave Ennett, everybody.
Well, do you remember a couple of years ago, I think it was Joakim Noah. Everyone's asking
him, that's right.
What about the circus trip? And he's like, he had no idea what the circus trip was.
No, yeah, I know. Whenever you say it, it's meat. People are like, what do you mean? They're going to a circus?
Yeah.
No, no. You know, it's what's really funny. My parents used to live right by the train tracks where the Ringling Brothers would park their train.
Mm-hmm.
And in the neighborhood bars, people would like be sitting in the neighborhood bar having a drink, and then suddenly dwarfs would come in and clowns would walk in, and people would be sitting at the bar going, how much have I had to drink? What's going on here? Suddenly you're in a David Lynch movie.
Right.
Like, wait. And it would happen, and then it would take people a couple of minutes to go, oh, yeah. Right, the circus is in town.
Go,
the elephants
call.
Walking by?
Elephants walk in. It's crazy.
Anymore.
They're making balloon animals for the drunks at the bar.
Last
all
call.
That stuff.
I'm going to kick it up a little bit.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yes. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran today. And, of course, you heard the bam, kicking it up a bunch of notches. Notches unknown. I am very, very excited. If you're a regular listener of my show, you know that I love to cook, and you know that I'm obsessed with the Food Network, and I have been for many years. And one of the first breakout stars on the Food Network is Emeril Lagasse, who has gone on to not just be a renowned chef and restaurateur, but an entrepreneur of all kinds, an author, and a TV star. And I am very excited to welcome Emeril to the show. Emeril, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Nick. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Now, how many times a day does somebody say bam to you?
Well, it depends what kind of day it is, what's the weather like, but I get it a few times, Nick.
Your new book is called Essential Emeril. I have many, many, many of your cookbooks, Emeril, and they're just great. This is a beautiful-looking book, and I do want to say, I want to mention here, we are in Chicago, and I want to mention that you dedicated this book to the memory of Charlie Trotter. Talk about your relationship with him and why the book is dedicated to him.
Well, Essential Emeril is my latest book, just out a few weeks ago, of my favorite recipes and really just a lot of wisdom from a journey, say, of about 30 years. It's not really a memoir. It's just a dynamite cookbook with great technique. And, of course, Chicago native Charlie Trotter, one of my best friends on the planet, unfortunately passed a year ago. Charlie and I cooked a lot of Charlie Trotter's, we cooked a lot of New Orleans, we cooked a lot all over the world. And speaking of the world, there's a lot of stories in the book that also talks about a lot of journeys. And a lot of those journeys that I had as my career evolved was with Charlie. And so I felt just so touch that I wanted to dedicate this book to Charlie Trotter. God bless him, and God bless Chicago for probably the guy that was in the forefront of really starting American cuisine and great cuisine, not only in America but in the world.
You know, when you put this book together, Emeril, was it hard to whittle down the recipes? I'm sure that you wanted to include a lot more than you actually could in the book. Tell me about how that process was for you.
Well, I couldn't fit everybody in the book. I mean, there was so much more, so many more people, so many more stories. But what you have here is really solid foundation of people that have influenced me, dishes that have influenced me, experiences of my travel, of just cooking. And I share that with people and share lots and lots of technique that I think that you'll really enjoy it.
Can you give a shout out to the person that or the people that did the photography in this book? Because it is a gorgeous looking book, Emeril.
Thank you. Well, I have a new publisher, and I worked with Time Inc., which was really and a division of Oxmoor House is really who my publisher is, which is a division of Time. I hooked up with an old friend of mine who has helped me edit the book, Pam Honick, and it was really the responsibility of a lot of people at Oxmoor, Time Inc., who helped me design it. We went into the studio, and we actually, cooked the dishes, and then we shot the dishes, ate the dishes, critiqued them, and then we probably went back. And there's so many people who's responsible for this. Kelly and Quentin Bacon did the cover. Cedric Angels was the lead photographer, who was just awesome. Really just an amazing, amazing book. And I'm glad that you brought that up, Nick, that the photographs really speak for themselves, but the recipes are even more.
Mm-hmm. Essential Emeril is the latest book, and I've got many of, I'm sure as many people who are listening have a lot of your cookbooks, Emeril. Let me talk about the first days of Food Network. I was there pretty much from the beginning. I started watching the Food Network back in 95, and you were obviously, to me, like you were the king of that, and I was obsessed with the Food Network. What was it like from the beginning of the Food Network? Did you guys know that it was going to take off and become what it is now? Had anybody have any idea how huge it was going to be?
Well, you know, I would have to say, first of all, no, because when I first told people that I was going to be a part of this network that was going to be all about food 24 hours a day, they absolutely thought I was nuts. And I had been called out by some pretty famous people, which I'll remain nameless right now, that, what are you doing? You can't be doing this. You're selling out the profession, et cetera, et cetera. And so I remember in the beginning days that it was really big to obviously to open up the viewership in New York City. And then we hit 1 million homes. And then we went to 5 million homes. And then it was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then I remember the journey, you know, 10 million, 15 million. I remember the journey with a lot of people that were involved and responsible for that growth. And I was just, I'm very fortunate to be a part of it. And, from the beginning to see where it is now. Nick, it was really about, as you know, watching the shows. It was really then about cooking, about understanding and making a spring roll and roasting a pork loin the right way and what you could do with it. And so I think we've gotten away a little bit from that right now. I think that it's become more of competitive television as opposed to cooking or food television. But you know what? Everything evolves. I think, Nick, that it's going to go back there. But man, what a journey. It was really wonderful being a part of it. And now, when I see, when I travel in the United States and I see people that come up to me and now they're 30 years old or they're, in their late 20s and they say, I watched your show with my dad, with my grandfather, with my grandmother. You really taught us how to cook. I can't even begin to tell you what a feeling that is, Nick.
Well, the Food Network is responsible for my incredible interest in cooking. I never really cooked. I never cooked anything until after 95, Emeril. And you're one of the biggest influences in that regard. And it's a great thing to begin cooking on your own. It's hard to explain to people how gratifying it is, don't you think, Emeril?
Oh, it's really. I cook every day. It's like you said. It's so gratifying to be able to see something from start to finish. But then more importantly, to see the expressions of your family, the appreciation of your family and friends when they just sort of get this and nurture it and love it and the smiles. You know, I have to tell you, Nick, as a cook, I can't wait for you to cook out of this book. Essential Emeril is dynamite. There's not one recipe in the book that I could take out of the book. Mm. It's that good.
I'm looking forward to it. I have it right in front of me, and no one's getting it, by the way. I just want you all to know that this book is coming home
Amen,
with me.
Amen, brother.
The first time I ever had Chateaubriand was at Emeril's in Vegas.
Ah.
Oh, what a way to start, huh?
Yeah, beautiful. And Emeril, you know, talking about going to your restaurants, my first honeymoon, I was married twice, but my first honeymoon we went to New Orleans, and I went to your flagship, your Emeril's, and it was back in 1996, and it was seriously, to this day, one of the greatest meals I've ever had in my life.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, Emeril's is, we're past the 25-year mark now, working on 26, and I have to tell you, probably one of my proudest things that I can say today and is that the restaurant almost 26 years later is better now than it was 25 years ago.
Amazing. Well, it's a great experience.
We work so hard at it every single day, every detail along the way. I have a great chef there, David Slater, great people there, Kevin DeLon, our general manager. It's better today than it was 25 years ago.
That's great. It's hard to believe because it was so damn good 20 years ago when I went. Essential Emeril is the name of the latest book. Everybody should pick it up. It's the holiday season. It would make a great gift. You can follow Emeril on Twitter, @Emeril. Emeril, a real honor for me to interview you, man. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. There
Thanks,
you go.
Nick. Have a great day. Keep cooking, brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. There you go. Emeril Lagasse, everybody. He's the king.
He is. He was, I think, the original, one of the original, if not the original chef on Food Network.
There's no question. He was there when he launched it. I think there were about 15 people doing different shows on that. And I became obsessed with it. And that's when I started cooking.
He's great.
But are they easy recipes? Because I'm such a bad cook.
No, you're not. Come on.
You
don't like cooking?
No, I like baking.
Oh, see, now and I can't stand
baking.
Do you
have any baking stuff in there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But baking to me is too precise. I screw it up all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't experiment. I can't be creative. That's why I like baking.
You know what, though? That's a good point. That with
it's
cooking,
true.
You can be a little more creative.
Yeah.
You can throw
Absolutely.
In extra spices.
Yeah.
Or,
that's right.
Yeah.
If you
screw up baking, people are going to know.
Even if it's down to the slightest. If you go off the measurements, even the slightest, you can screw up everything.
Yeah,
you
the sugar versus salt is
Can't
always
do
an
it.
Issue.
Can't do it. All right. Well, Essential Emeril, it's out there now. We got a break here for traffic. Let's go to Mary. Hey, Mary. All right. We're here. And, you know, by the way, yesterday, I'm Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran, who is off doing espionage.
That's probably true.
It is. It's true. It's absolutely true. And speaking of espionage, see, again, professional broadcaster. This is called a segue, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Speaking of espionage, yesterday, Steve Cochran talked with Daniel. I was going to say Daniel Stern. Could you imagine Daniel Stern as James Bond?
As James Bond?
Daniel Craig as James Bond. Great interview. Really cool guy. And we wanted to listen. In case you missed it yesterday, we're going to play a little portion of it right here. And Steve asked him, you know, about his thoughts on playing the iconic James Bond.
You know, I've got to weigh it up. There's so many great things that come out of doing this job and having this sort of... I knew that this was going to change my life when I first started it, and I just you have to take that on. I get tremendous satisfaction from doing these jobs. You know, I get to work with some of the best people in the industry, and as an actor, it's all you can wish for.
You know, one of the things I loved that you did, and by the way, my friends in London, my friend Paul Coit, who's on the radio there forever. And I just thought London did such an amazing job with the Olympics. But one of the great moments was that surprise film with the Queen. I mean, I didn't know the Queen would jump out of helicopters. Did you?
No, I didn't. But she was very keen to do it. Danny Boyle, who directed the whole thing, came to see me on the movies on the set of Skyfall and just said, you know, look, this is the idea. What do you think? And I thought he was having me on. I just didn't think it. And I said, does she want to do this? And he said, yes, she's very keen to do this. And in fact, originally it had been me and the two princes doing it. Me, her, and the two princes doing it. And she said, no, just me and James Bond.
That's so great. That's just so tremendous. I mean, it's still funny. I see clips occasionally. It was still funny. All right. Now, confirm or deny before we run out of time here. When you originally were offered Bond, you had some misgivings about whether to do it or not, which is understandable. And did Pierce Brosnan actually urge you to do it?
I sat next to him at an event, and it was being mooted, and I just said to him, look, what should I do? And he just went, go for it. You got to go for it.
And obviously, it's been great. It's had challenges, all of those things. But the question, of course, because the producers are looking at me, Daniel, you know that. The producers are thinking, is it time for Cochrane? Yeah, they're saying, is it?
Good. You should go for it. You should definitely go for it.
Thank you, Pierce.
I highly recommend it.
Thank you, Pierce. Now, I mean, do you know if you're going to do another one, or do you have to sit back and wait and decide? Because you just don't know if you can go through it again.
Wait. Yeah. I've just got to look. I've got to sort of go home, be with the family, and just think about other things for a while. I just, you know, it's been, you know, I'm massively proud of this movie. I think Sam Mendes has done a tremendous job, and it's like we've got it out, and people are going to see it. But beyond that, I can't think. I just can't think at the moment.
Do you ever get to Chicago?
I love Chicago. Well, I filmed my first movie with Sam Mendes there, Road to Perdition,
right?
Way back in 2000, and it's one of my favorite cities. It's very difficult not to go out in Chicago and have a good time.
Yeah, and I was thinking the next time you're in town, we could hang out. It'd be good for your image.
I would happily do that.
Yeah,
I know some good bars.
Well, you know what? I live here. I could probably find one or two.
Good. Let's do it.
We could be thrown out of two places at the same time. Really?
I'm sure we could.
Yeah, congratulations, man. I'm a big fan, and I have nothing but respect for your talent, and you seem like a heck of a dad, and that's more important than any of this. Congratulations on Spectre at a brand new Bond, and I hope you do another one.
All right. You're very kind. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss the good.
All right. Yeah. Dean is going to join us, Dean Richards. It's Nick DiGiulio. That's me filling in for Steve Cochran, who is on an espionage mission right now.
Shh.
Don't say anything. I thought I saw him tiptoeing around Tribune outside here around the Tribune Tower with sunglasses on.
He does that all the time.
A magnifying and a trench coat, but for different reasons. We won't get into that right now. By the way, this 8 a.m. hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks, and we are keeping that text question going throughout the morning. I will periodically go back and read some of these. The question is, when you're in a bad mood or you're sad, what song gets you out of that funk? What song makes you happy? I mentioned Don't You Worry About a Thing by Stevie Wonder is the one that always works for me. 847 area code says the song Eye of the Tiger. Go Cubs Go always makes me happy. That's not me speaking. Let me just say that because I hate that song. Do You Like Pina Coladas makes me happy. The song is called Escape. Okay, we got some drunks listening this morning. My happy song is Sign, Seal, Deliver from Stevie Wonder. How about this one, the Dr. Most theme song?
Oh, the edema on my thigh?
Yeah.
The Dr. one we Most all get stuck in our head?
Does that one get stuck in your
head? It's
like
an earworm. Oh,
yeah. Last week it was... I couldn't stop hearing
it. Edema on my thigh. Yeah, it's not often you can say that.
Nick's dad tells a joke. That's another one. But you can thank Jason Skaggs for that one. That one gets stuck.
Jokey time. Yeah, that's another one.
Boston More Than a Feeling is on this list. And then, let's see. Keep the Streets Empty for Me by Fever Ray. I don't think I know that.
No.
Huey Lewis and the News, Do You Believe in Love?
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah. Are you gonna? Of course, it's 80s. Anything 80s, Andrea enjoys.
It makes me so happy.
Okay, well, let us quickly say that we're going to talk to Dean here, and it's sponsored by Captain James Lovell, Federal Health Care Center. And here is Dean Richards. Hello, Dean. Is Dean there? Dean is evidently not there. Oh, there, Dean?
Hello.
Yeah, okay.
Hello.
Wrong one. Hi, Dean.
You got me?
I got you.
Oh, good.
Hey, listen, man, congratulations. I haven't talked to you since the award, and no one has deserved it more than you, Dean, and congratulations, my
friend.
Aren't
you nice? Thank you. The it's the Chicago TV Academy's Silver Circle, or as I was calling it, the Silver Sow Award for the first couple of days. I thought I'd gotten some sort of WKRP award. yeah, but it's very nice, and I couldn't have been more shocked.
Where do you keep it?
Oh, well, we haven't gotten it yet. They announced the honorees this year, but the award itself will be presented in the month of May.
Oh, cool. Well, congratulations, Dean.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, man, it's always great to watch it. It's awesome to be a compadre of yours in the broadcast world.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Who would have thought? When I did that Victory Auto Records commercial so many years ago.
You knew it was all leading to that.
That it would have launched me to so many different places.
That's right. It's all because of the dude whose car door falls off.
That old car could be worth money. But be the first, we're going to be the words on my tombstone.
Well, Dean, can you hang on for a second?
Of course.
All right. Dean is here, and we got to check from some traffic right now, and we're going to traffic. Good morning. This is yet another bunch of texts for this song. The text question this morning, 312-981-7200, is songs that immediately make you happy. If you're in a funky mood, you're freaked out by what's going on in the world, and that seems to be a daily thing nowadays. What songs immediately make you happy? And Lakeshore Drive pops up quite frequently. And what else makes us happy is Dean Richards. And Dean Richards joins us live right now. Dean, do you have a song that makes you happy?
Yeah, I was trying to think of that during the break. And, you know, because I spent three hell-filled years at WNUA. Ironically, the smoothest place on earth, also the most hell-filled. I'm going to say anything by Kenny G.
Ah.
Not because I enjoy the music, but it just reminds me that life could be worse.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I got you. I believe Kenny G is still holding that one note, isn't he?
He's still recording that one song.
Just with one note.
It's been one song. It's got like a 75-minute song that every few years they release three more minutes of it.
God bless him. All right, Dean, what's going on in the entertainment world? I got to say this.
Just bringing that up over again, no matter how much electroshock therapy I've had to try to forget those years.
Yeah, man, NUA. Yeah.
Smooth, man. Yeah,
yeah, all right. Yeah. Where it always sounds
it's
like
the opposite of your
DJ?
Friday. Yeah, your DJ. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
My smooth jazz DJs. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
NUA, where every day sounds like 3 a.m.
That's right. Somebody check my pulse and make sure I'm still alive.
I'm sorry. I thought you said something else. You said pulse, right?
That's right.
Okay. I thought you said something else.
As far as you know, that's what I said. What?
I was going to say, man. No wonder it was hell over at NUA.
Sure, I don't have a hernia. Also.
I was going to say if that's what they're doing, checking you out at NUA like that, I'd leave too. okay. You know what? I didn't know this. I've not been keeping up with my Colbert. But Burt Reynolds was on last night.
79 years old now.
How did he look?
He's kind of frail. He has not been in the best of health.
Right.
He's had lots of different surgeries, most of which related to the fact that he did most of his own stunts in all of his movies during his years. In the interview, he talks about how he can point to a different part of his body where he had surgery and go, this was... Deliverance, this was Smokey and the Bandits. You know, he can point to different parts of his body and what surgery he had to have because he injured himself. Mm. So he walks with two canes, apparently very slowly. He was already in the chair, you know, when they introduced him. They usually do that when, somebody's not feeling well. They do that. But he was witty and he was funny, I thought. And one of my favorite things is that he talked about his many, many legendary appearances with the great Johnny Carson and the special chemistry that they had. Take a listen to this.
Why did you guys think you had so much chemistry between each other? You know, I really don't know. It happened the first night. I walked out, and I looked in his eye. I looked in mine, and it was something happened. It was magic. We just had a fabulous thing going.
Yeah, he talked about that they just knew how to push each other's buttons, and you know, both were generous in giving each other some laughs. I'm super excited because starting on January 1st, our sister Nostalgia TV channel, our cable channel, Antenna TV, will begin running full episodes of Johnny Carson, 10 p.m.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And they're going to be pretty much intact. There are a few things that are going to be cut out because of licensing reasons, but for the most part, intact, including some of these great old Burt Reynolds appearances. You'll be able to watch it and kind of relive the magic that was Johnny Carson.
Well, that's great stuff. Truly great stuff. And those appearances by Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise and all those guys and Rickles.
Anything
killed
with
every
Rickles.
Time.
Anything killed. With Rickles, hilarious.
Yeah.
I got together with Bob Newhart one of the last times I was in L.A. and we were talking about this. Bob Newhart was guest hosting the show the night that Don Rickles was on and broke Johnny Carson's
right.
cigarette box. He was goofing around and broke it. So when Carson came back from being off, he goes across the hallway to where Rickles is taping his show, CPO Sharky, interrupts the taping and gives it to him live on the Tonight Show. Classic.
One of my favorite moments in Tonight Show history is when he actually brings the cigarette case over to the set of
right.
CPO Sharky.
Right.
Absolutely hysterical.
Yeah. What happened to this? What happened?
Yeah. And for the first time ever, Dean, you might agree with me on this, it was the first time I've ever seen Don Rickles frightened and speechless.
Speechless.
Yeah.
Completely speechless. And he's like introducing him to the rest of the cast on CPO Sharky. He goes, they know who I am. They don't know who you are.
That's right.
Classic.
Okay, it's always important. I know that a lot of people are waking up this morning. First thing they want to know is who is Playboy? Playboy. What am I thinking? Babe, wow. Hey, check my pulse.
Hello.
People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive. Did I make it?
It's the 30th anniversary edition.
Oh.
Just seems like yesterday that this just started. But David Beckham was chosen as this year's choice.
Andrea, good choice?
I think it's a great choice. I think it's an odd choice, though, don't you, Dean?
Yeah, what has he done lately?
I thought maybe Chris Pratt or one of the Chrises.
I think those guys have,
one of the Chrises?
Was it Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth?
One of the other Hemsworths. Not Chris. Was it Chris Hemsworth? I think he was
got
last
it.
Year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
I think one of the Chrises. But Chris Pratt, he's got plenty of years in front of him.
True.
To get this.
Ryan Gosling.
I never completely understand how they make these choices. I suspect it's on who will sell the most magazines for us. And Beckham's got international appeal as a soccer superstar.
Great point.
What I love is whoever the dope is, and I say that with complete bitterness.
Nice. Dean, just because you're always 51, you're just so close on the top 50.
Yeah. Whichever dope does get the honor every year, every single one of them says, I don't view myself as being attractive or sexy. Yeah.
Right.
Do you not have a mirror in your house?
Yeah.
Just say it. You're a good-looking man. Just say it.
David Beckham is just hideous.
No, he's a hot. Come on.
No,
come
I
on.
Know. Of course.
You know what's
is.
Funny, though? When you do the interviews, Dean, I'm sure you probably find this, they always say something that's just, you think, oh, God. Like, I don't use deodorant or, I don't shower every day.
Yeah, often they don't have to tell me when they use
Hello.
Deodorant.
Hello.
Right.
Hold on.
Like
check Dean's pulse. Hey, easy on the Matthew McConaughey.
Would you like to? No, I've never had a smelly encounter with Matthew McConaughey.
I thought he didn't wear deodorant. Who was though, Dean? Wait,
I've never smelled him.
Full disclosure.
I try to sniff whoever I am interviewing. I do try to get a good sniff in.
There
just
was,
in case. But there was one recently here in Chicago. I just had to be within a block of him to know that he wasn't wearing
it. Oh, I know who it is. Is it Russell Crowe?
It was not Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Also, he's always been a clean teen also.
Sting?
Sting.
Oh, yeah. I heard he's nasty. Yeah.
Sting, all you got to do is change one letter in that name.
Hello. All right.
And you've got Stink.
Yeah. Well, that's because he just... Now, let me ask you, but didn't he just come off of a 15-hour sex session?
I didn't need to know that.
Yeah, no, doesn't he? He still does that, like, the, like, I have sex with my wife for 15 hours a day.
It's the well, I've heard it's called tantric.
Maybe 15 hours, but you know what? It only takes a few minutes to take a shower when you're done.
Yeah, so. It also only takes a few minutes, but let's not get into that. All right, hey, Dean, I got to let you go so that somebody at NUA can check your pulse.
On that note, I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Richards. Thank you, Dean.
Bye.
Yeah, all right, see you later. Yeah. All right, we have to take a break. I always like it when Dean's on so that I can always class up the show with whatever I ask him.
I think it's great. That's why I always like his bad reviews.
Yeah. Oh, Dino. I love Dean. All right, we got to take a break here on WGN. The news is next.
Seabrook, right circle, shoots. That deflects wide of the net. Kane took the puck in behind, put it in front. Panarin shoots and scores! Artemi Panarin, the leading rookie scorer of the National Hockey League, adds another!
Good morning, everybody. On a now on Michigan Avenue is pretty bustling down here on Michigan Avenue. You know, normally when I'm here, when I do my show, there's one car every half hour right. on Michigan Avenue.
Now there's one every 2 seconds.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran, who's on an espionage mission that we can't talk about. But he will be back tomorrow morning. But I am filling in this morning, having a great time, you guys. By the way, the 8 o'clock hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. We thank Wintrust Community Banks for sponsoring the 8 o'clock hour. We were talking about songs that make you happy if you're in a bad mood. And we've been getting a lot of texts coming in, 312-981-7200. Downtown by Petula Clark. Anything by the Beatles, people are saying. Can't Hurry Love by Phil Collins. Really, you're going to pick the Phil Collins version? Let's see. A Lovely Day by Bill Withers. Ah, look at that. How about that, Maximus? You got to be happy about that
one. Love it. Fly Jam right there.
Fly Jam. Baby, I'm a Star by Prince. I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross is on here. Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. Bunch of texts for Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. And It's a Beautiful Day by U2, which is actually one of my favorites of all time. And also, I do want to mention Chelsea Dagger is one of my favorite songs of all time, especially because it's played every time the Hawks score a goal at home. So I like to hear it at the UC. I like to hear it 7-8 times a game. That would be nice. The Hawks are on their circus trip, and you learned what a circus trip was a little bit earlier during Hawkopedia with Dave. And the voice of the Blackhawks here on WGN is the great John Weideman. I haven't talked to John in a while. John, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Nick. And by the way, I heard you running down your list of songs that get you from a bad mood to a good mood. I've got one.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard it in a while, but every time I hear it, I just sort of laugh. And I picture days of old with me. You remember the song, I Don't Want to Work, I Want to Bang on the Drums All Day?
Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, I love that song.
I do
every
too.
Time I hear that song, I almost laugh because it makes me picture a time in my life where there was a guy I used to work with who he had a hard time just dealing with normal life, and so whenever you'd hear that song, you'd see him and he would just suddenly come to life, and so that actually brings back a vivid image.
There is a lyric
in my life when I didn't have any responsibility.
There is a lyric in that song where it says, "I want to bang on the drum like it was my boss. I want to bang on the drum all day like it was my boss's head." There was a period of time here at WGN between 2008 and 2010 when that was a mantra here in the hallways of WGN.
you beat me to it, Nick. I was about to say, easy.
John, always great to hear from you, man. We have to take a break here really quickly for traffic, and when we come back, we got to talk all about the circus trip. Okay, buddy?
You got it.
All right, the great John Weideman. Always a blast to talk to him. You will hear him make all the calls, along with the great Troy Murray. Tonight in Edmonton, 8:30, the puck drops, and let's get a check on traffic. Here's Mary. This is an instant request, man, from Maximus, from DJ Maximus. DJ Maximus. This is all for John Weideman. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran, who's on an espionage mission this morning. And we're talking about songs that make you happy, and that one makes John Weideman happy. And John Weideman, you make me happy, my friend.
Well, I do what I can, Nick. And that song, when I heard that song coming back on air, it brought a smile to my face.
Good.
So thanks. very much. Cool. You made my day.
I got to ask you, before we get to the details of the circus trip, which is always, I love talking to you around this time of year every year. I just want to lead off by saying, how ridiculous and awesome is it to watch that second line?
Oh, it I tell you, it's worth the price of admission.
Oh, my God.
You know, Patrick Kane is leading the NHL in scoring. I just was on, online this morning doing a little homework, and I noticed that the NHL website has a graph where Patrick Kane over his last five games, he's got 10 points, and four of those points came in the game against the Edmonton Oilers the last time the Oilers were in Chicago. He is just having the kind of a year that is really beyond compare. He was having a good year last year until the injury. And, you know, he went down, he lost the last 20 games of the season, the regular season, and joined the Blackhawks in the playoffs. And, you know, he helped them win another Stanley Cup. But I got to tell you, the guy on that line, to me, that is the key to that line is Artem Anisimov. You've got Artemi Panarin. Now, everybody says, well, what are you talking about, Weidman? Panarin is the leading rookie scorer, and Kane leads the NHL in scoring overall. Why is he important? Well, Anisimov, in my opinion, is the guy that he makes the other two guys effective. He maybe not by himself, but it's little things that he'll do that help the other two find room, or maybe he'll put them in a good position with a pass, or maybe Anisimov will go to the front of the net and draw a defenseman to him to try and defend him there, and that opens up ice for Kane and for Panarin to operate. So, as a trio, they are the most dynamic line in the National Hockey
League. There's no question.
I can say that with conviction.
No, there's no question about it, John. There's no question about it. Every time that line is on the ice, it's magic. I mean, really, I haven't felt this excited about a line in a long time. Consistently awesome every time they're out there.
Yeah, you know, you can make a case for Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin down in Dallas. Yeah. I mean, they're a duo, but this is a trio. And these three guys, the other thing too, Nick, I was just about to say, these three guys get it done offensively. They also get it done defensively. I mean, they've been very responsible. You asked Joel Quenneville about the three together or even separately, and he'll be complimentary about their defensive play. And, you know, if you're going to play for Joel Quenneville, you've got to be able to play defensively. And so far, these guys get a passing grade.
Well, speaking of defensively, what a difference. I mean, it's startling the difference that it made when Dunks came back on Saturday. Just a difference. There was a huge fire under their butts, a spark, and it just changed immensely when he came out on the ice. What a great physical game Saturday night. What about it, John?
No, I totally agree. I mean, one guy can make a significant difference, and in this case, Duncan Keith was that guy. I guess when he puts on the skates and he takes the ice and plays in a game, everybody has that extra feeling of security, knowing that, well, Dunk is back there. Just in case anything happens, we don't have to worry because Dunk is back there. Or when Dunk's on the ice and the team has a power play, Dunk's going to make that pass. Dunk is going to be the one that sees the ice and puts one of our forwards in the best position to attack in the offensive zone. Dunk's going to make that key defensive play to take the puck away from, an opponent when they're on an odd man rush and start transition back the other way. But all those little things, and that's been proven over time. I mean, you know, two Norris trophies. He's a Conn Smythe winner. He eats up all kinds of minutes on the blue line for the Blackhawks. He's truly indispensable in a lot of ways. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. He comes back. He's a point of game since he's come back. And the team has kind of followed his lead and really played well. And then, by the way, don't dismiss or disregard Michael Roosevelt's re-inclusion to the lineup. I want to give him a plug because Roosevelt brings a level of stability that's missing a lot of times when he's out of the lineup. So the two of them back together, I think they've made a difference.
John, why do you think the Blackhawks have performed so well on this annual circus trip?
I think it's because they get away, and they get away from the distractions of home, and they get together. You know the old saying, boys will be boys. I think they just get together on the road, and they go have a little bit of fun along with playing hockey, and then they have fun playing the hockey, you know, for the most part. I think it also gives them time to, you know, work on little things in practice where – you know, when you're at home and you're working on things in practice, yeah, that's your work. You've got to pay attention to it. But when you're on the road, you have more time, I think, to prepare for practice. And the practices become, I think, more efficient. And I think Joel Quenneville and the coaching staff, they're able to implement things into the practices on the road where they've got the undivided attention of the players, where at home maybe they don't have that because, you know, a guy is in the middle of practice, but he knows when the practice is over. He's got to run out and he's got to go pick out furniture with his wife or, you know, maybe he's got a doctor's appointment that he's got to get to or something like that. On the road, it all takes place at the team hotel, and there's just a sense of togetherness that brings this team together. They haven't played a game yet, so we don't know about this circus road trip. But
right.
Here in the last 5 years under Joel Quenneville, I think they've been very good on these trips, and then a lot of times these trips help to define their seasons.
What about tonight's matchup, John? How do you feel about Edmonton?
Well, this is the last game that they'll ever play at the Northlands Coliseum, which is now the Rexall Place, because Edmonton is building a new building. It's a beautiful building that's coming up here, actually a couple blocks away from the hotel where we're staying. I think they want to win tonight anyway. They want to win the last game here. They're going to face an Oilers team that is in last place in the Pacific Division, and they're missing Connor McDavid. And I got to tell you, guys, the buzz has just been sapped out of this town after Connor McDavid went down, his first pick in the draft. And he's going to be a real dynamic hockey player in the National Hockey League in his time, but he's recovering from the clavicle injury where he was sent tumbling into the end boards. That has kind of taken away some of the energy from the fan base here, but they still fill their building. And anytime we come to Edmonton, it just seems like the Oilers get super pumped up to play the Blackhawks. So this is going to be one of those games in the 82-game schedule where the opponent is going to be sky-high to play the Cup champs, because every team's going to do that. But this team really gets gunned up to play. They've got some young players that can really skate. Their ice surface is one of the best in the league. From the Oilers' side, you got to look at guys like Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and a kid named Leon Draisaitl, which was one of their first-round draft picks. He's over a point a game since his call-up from the American Hockey League. He's been contributing. The Oilers team as a whole, they have a lot of team speed. And so the Blackhawks, in my opinion, what they need to do in this first period is they need to just neutralize that team speed. They need to slow the game down, not slow it down, but take away the Oilers' energy and their thrust, and then take control in the latter half of the first period. If they can keep the game scoreless after one, I think that works to their benefit. Mm-hmm. And as the game goes on, the Blackhawks seem to become a stronger team. I think they can win it if they just do that.
Okay, and that's tonight. The puck drop is at 8:30 right here on WGN. John, personally, how do you like the circus trip? You're away from the family and stuff like that, so that must be a little difficult.
It's hard for me. It's fun because, you know, I get to, you know, get away and go to some cities I love to go to. I love coming out west. I mean, Western Canada to me, it's not boring to me. It's kind of a neat place to me. We go from Edmonton to Calgary on to Vancouver, and then a couple of days in between from Vancouver to San Jose and then Anaheim, and clean it all up in L.A. and come home. I just hate being away from my kids. I hate being away from my family. If I could bring them with me on this trip, I probably would. I'd even get a different hotel than the guys so that, you know, they would get in the way. But, you know, the kids are in school, and, you know, so it's just part of the life that we've chosen. And any man out there or woman out there that is a professional and travel, they know what it's like. You have to leave your family sometimes to go and earn a living and take care of them. So that's the sacrifice that I accept. I don't mind it that much, but it's the one thing if I could change about this trip, I would. But I know I can't, so I'm accepting things as they are and making the best of it. And so far, not so bad.
Okay. Well, John, it's always great to hear you and Troy. You guys are the best. Thanks for joining us this morning. And have a great trip, the circus trip. And let's go Hawks.
You got it, Nick. Thanks for having me on. I always appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Take care. John Weideman, you can hear him tonight, the puck drop with John and Troy, 8:30 in Edmonton. Hawks on their circus trip, and we hope for the best. Take a quick break here. We got the news coming up after this. Don't you worry. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, in for Steve Cochran, who's on a secret espionage mission, preparing for his to be cast as the new James Bond, as we discovered.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
Yeah. We've been talking about your songs that make you happy. if you're in a bum mood. And that's been our text question all morning, and we've been reading a bunch of your texts. Lots of them are coming in at 312-981-7200. That is my personal favorite right there that you just heard. Don't You Worry About a Thing by Stevie Wonder.
That's your song?
Absolutely. My favorite song that makes me happy. Doesn't matter what mood I'm in, I put that song on and I'm like, oh, this is good.
Black Eyed Peas is another. I like that one too. I Got a Feeling.
Oh,
it always
God.
Makes you happy.
Okay.
What?
That's
a good song.
I can't stand it. Can I ask a reasonable question about the Black Eyed Peas? What do those other two idiots do?
Will I Am? Oh, no. Will I Am and
Will I
Am.
The others. Okay, the other two dudes.
They just bounce around.
They round out the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
By doing nothing? By just jumping around?
One's a DJ, right?
I don't even think they're DJs. I think they just stand there with coats on and dance.
Apple D. Apple. I think he's partially blind.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. Apple D. Apple.
Mm-hmm.
I got to change. I got to come up with some name. I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki on Friday morning.
Are you?
Yeah, for Fly James Friday.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
It's DJ Shagru, Esmeralda the Heart Melda, and I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki.
And Maximus. Now
and
you,
Maximus.
You know,
DJ Maximus.
Here we go. Yeah.
How you doing, Maximus?
I'm phenomenal, Nick. Thanks.
Yeah, I bet you are, man. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, okay. We're not going to throw you to the lions this morning, so
okay,
you'll be all right.
You.
So anyway, if you want to continue, here's some other ones that people are coming in. Sweet Home Chicago by the Blues Brothers is on here. Oh, here's another song that I can't stand. Happy by Pharrell Williams.
Oh, I love that song.
I hate that song.
It makes you so happy.
Now it makes me want to kick teeth in.
How about Bop by Hanson?
Ah, that I like.
Oh, I hate that song.
See, I love that song.
I love it.
That is
I
love
it. Bad
and
they were
song.
So cute, those boys.
Oh, they were not.
What happened to them?
Like little rats.
What happened to them?
They're cute now.
What happened to them? We were all cute when we were
they
young.
They grew up in some young men.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
sounds cool.
They were like kids like when they were 18, didn't they?
I don't. Yeah, all of them.
The
That's right. All of them did, Mary.
The kids had kids.
They had that bad long hair.
Shambhala by Three Dog Night. Great choice from the 847 area code. Born to Run and Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen is on this list. Hi, Hi, Hi by Paul McCartney. Well, we all know what that song's about. I'm sure that the person from 847 who texted that in was probably
major ganj.
Yeah, major ganj.
Maybe it just means they're flying high in the sky, literally, though, in an airplane.
Paul McCartney wrote that song about pot, everyone. That's
ganj.
When he wrote that song. Another Stevie Wonder, You Are the Sunshine of My Life. And
That's a good one.
Steely Dan, Hey 19. That's a great one. There's a song about tequila and cocaine.
There you go.
Wow, we got some pretty interesting. I'm bringing all my listeners into the morning show,
right.
Evidently. Let's see. Holiday Road by Lindsey Buckingham. Sure, there you go. From Vacation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Pig by Dave Matthews. That's a great song.
I don't know that song. I'm not a huge Dave Matthews fan.
I've seen Dave Matthews 37 times.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because
did you pay?
Not every time, but most of the time, yes. They're like the best musicians on the planet.
Oh, they are not.
Yes, they are.
Oh, stop.
Yes, they are.
They dumped waste in the river.
No,
too.
They didn't. See, this is the thing that makes me crazy.
I know.
About that.
I know.
They are. Well, first, the thing about Dave Matthews is what's ironic about that story, you know, always being connected to them, is that they are one of the most ecology friendly bands in the world, and they give. Perhaps the not the most amount of money, but maybe some of the highest amount of money to ecological things. And to have some idiot who was driving their bus dump that stuff in there, it's a bit of an irony that just sucks.
Yeah.
But I love those guys. I think they're great. So yeah, we got more coming in here. If you want to text us in with your songs that make you happy. And speaking of people being happy, we're getting close to Christmas here. I guess.
Yeah.
Well, right now, as we speak, the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue is the decorations are coming out. They're bringing out the yearly decorations. The Tree Time is bringing out the yearly decorations.
Oh,
so it's going to be a winter wonderland in here by the end of the day.
It's about to
it's
be transformed.
Be
and we're told that Santa's coming back.
His legs.
Yeah.
Yes. Santa's legs will be making an
Love
appearance.
Santa Claus.
And, so that's happening right now. And also, we have a tree to give away.
Yeah.
Don't we, young Maximus?
You almost call me Dan?
I almost called you Dan.
No.
You know why? Because Dan's my producer, and I work with him every morning.
You've got me, Maximus, today.
Maximus is in.
We do, absolutely. We're excited to give away these Tree Times. They're a black and red with white mini lights, artificial desktop holiday hockey tree, courtesy of Tree Time. With the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees at factory direct prices, visit Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington or treetime.com. Thanks to them.
Treetime.com, we thank them. All right, let's do this. Caller 7. How about that? Caller 7, you get the hockey tree from Tree Time. It's 312-981-7200, caller 7. And every tree has a story. Does your Christmas tree have handmade ornaments made by your kids? Is decorating the tree a competitive sport in your family? Do you use tinsel? Do you use garland? What about you, Andrea?
Well, we used to, this is one of my favorite stories. We used to make Christmas ornaments every year, you know, at Sunday school. So I made an ornament one time, and you have to put, I put my parents' picture in there, mm-hmm. and you have to put, you know, it's handmade. So I put little beans, you know, they were dried out beans. So we hung it on the tree, and our dog at the time ate the ornament. So the whole bottom part is gone. It was dried up little lima beans or whatever they were. The whole bottom part's gone. You could still see the teeth marks. My dog died, you know, 10 years ago. Yeah. You could still see the teeth marks. And my mom still hangs that little ornament on the tree every year.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of funny.
My parents still, you know, hang the stupid stuff that I made when I was in grade school. I mean, the stuff is like 45 years old or something.
Oh, that stuff's the best.
The stuff you made as a kid.
Yeah. You got to have that. Okay. I still have all my kids' ornaments.
Do you?
And we hang Judy Garland. That's what the kids call it still.
Well, you hang Judy Garland.
Well,
that's
they
really
call
not
it garland, but they say,
Mom, are you going to hang
the
Judy Garland.
Yes. Uh-huh. We don't do the tinsel anymore. We do the garland, and they still call it the Judy Garland.
The Judy Garland. what about memories do you have? You can tell us your story about your tree in 200 words or less, and you can have the chance to win a new 7.5-foot artificial Christmas tree from Treetime Christmas Creations. Here's what some of our listeners had to say about their trees and their memories. Let's say this. Mary Carlock of Homer Glen said, "There's so many worn memories, like my children decorating our tree with their own creative touch. Last year, we gifted our tree to our oldest son so that he can create his own memories with his new family." Which is really nice. So you continue to pass it down from generation to generation. And again, if you would want to write your story in 200 words or less, you got a chance to win a 7.5-foot artificial Christmas tree from Treetime Christmas Creations. Go online to WGNradio.com/contests to tell us your story for a chance to win a 7.5-foot artificial tree, courtesy of Treetime Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington, featuring more than 200 holiday trees and decorations at factory direct prices. Do we have a caller 7? Do we have a winner, Kevin?
Yes, we've got their information off there. Brian from Aurora, congrats to him.
Brian from Aurora is our winner. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some viral videos that are really making a splash on the intranets. And all that coming up more right here. It's Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, filling in for Steve Cochran. Coming up after the 9:30 news, big story, Dr. Lauren Stryker is going to join us live in studio, and she will be here to talk about ladies' medical.
Women's health, also, you know, we're all talking about doing our benefits, and so many benefits are changing, you know, now because it's December, you got to enroll for next year.
Right.
And she's going to kind of explain some of that to us as well.
Which I did last night.
Yeah, I have to do mine today, and why it's so hard to, I think we know, but why it's so hard to get a doctor's appointment in December.
All right, all that and more.
I think everybody waits, you know.
Everybody does wait. Yeah, especially men.
Yeah.
Dr. Lauren Stryker is going to join us, and she'll be coming up after the big story. But before that, we just played a Patti LaBelle song there, and I don't know if you've seen this viral video, anybody has seen this viral video, but there is this guy, a really flamboyant, very hilarious guy named James Wright, who reviewed Patti LaBelle has the Patti LaBelle. She has pies, and she has a sweet potato pie that you can buy in store, prepackaged Patti LaBelle sweet potato pie. Mm. So this guy James Wright got his, you know, his camera out, and he got online and he made this video of him opening up the pie and eating it, and then reviewing it. And he, needless to say, he kind of liked it, right, Kev? He was a big fan.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement.
He went nuts, and it's an incredibly entertaining 3.5 minutes. We can't play all of it on the air because he drops a couple of words that we can't use here on the radio. But he indeed, I think one of my favorite parts is how difficult it was for him to open the package. That's one of, because the first like minute is him trying to open the package of the sweet potato pie and not doing as well as he would like. He gets a little frustrated there. But then once he bites into the pie and tastes it, this happens.
Patty. If anybody know Patty LaBelle, tag her in the video. Patty! Whoa! Just heard into Patty. You turn into Patty after eating this. Patty, how is it that two people who laugh together and love together sometimes?
Yeah.
Patty!
James Wright enjoying himself, clearly enjoying the sweet potato pie from Patty LaBelle. And here's the deal. There have been over a million views of that video. And it goes on. It goes on for like 3.5 minutes. And it's absolutely hysterical. He's got a good voice. And here's the thing. It has gone on to like triple the sales of
the
Patty LaBelle's sweet potato pie. And at one point, Walmart said that they were selling one per second. At one point.
One per second?
One Patty LaBelle sweet potato pie per second.
We should order one. We should get one of those in studio and taste it.
You want to get one of those? Maximus is up for it.
Oh, yeah, I'm down.
Patty!
There he goes again.
Kevin, play your favorite part, too, because when he asks people if you know Patty to tag the video for Patty. Here we go.
If anybody know Patty LaBelle, tag her in the video.
Yeah.
Patty!
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 Oh, you should isolate that.
You should isolate. Give that to Craig Collins and have him have that as a drop for Patty Vasquez's show. So every once in a while, if Patty gets out of line, you can just throw in a Patty!
Patty!
Exactly.
That's why I like the Catherine O'Hara, Kevin! We have to isolate that, too.
Home Alone, yeah.
From
Kevin, Home Alone.
25 years ago, that movie was released. There you go. You want to feel old? Kevin, were you alive when that movie was released?
I think it came out the year I was born.
That's enough.
Oh, that's a classic.
We're done talking.
That is a classic,
no,
yeah.
It sucks.
Come on.
I hate it.
Nick.
Yep.
Patty!
All right, on that note, get yourself a sweet potato pie, and you will indeed love Patty. All right, we'll take a break here. We got the big story coming up next.
Patty!
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. And it is indeed raining. Now it's not coming down, but like 3 minutes ago, it was coming down sideways.
Yeah, it was pouring.
Coming down really hard. So it's a rainy Wednesday morning. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. He's got the morning off. He's on a espionage mission. We were talking about songs that make you happy immediately. We've got some weird people listening to the show this morning. We've already got, you know, people were talking about songs about, you know, there was a song about marijuana that made them happy. Another guy wrote about how much he liked Hey 19, which is an ode to cocaine and tequila.
Yeah.
Someone from the 312 area code suggested that a song that makes him happy immediately is Girlfriend in a Coma by the Smiths.
Well, it's a catchy beat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So some people get happy at very, very strange things.
Yeah.
So, I've never met our next guest, Dr. Lauren Stryker. She's a graduate of the University of Illinois College of Medicine. And she is here to talk women's health and more. Lauren, nice to meet you.
It's about time we've met. I could be your gynecologist going forward.
Okay.
You need anything?
All
you
right.
Need a gynecologist? I'm here to help.
Sure. You never be too safe.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, Charlie Sheehan about and, never being
oh
too
my
safe.
God.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Ooh, that might be a good place to start.
That's a very weird
bad,
thing.
Or a good place to stop.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
We were talking about the legal implications. Of Charlie Sheen a little bit earlier about not telling his previous partners he's known he's HIV positive for a while now.
That's right. And this comes up not just about HIV but other sexually transmitted infections. And my partner years ago was involved in a suit about a woman who acquired herpes, and evidently the man she was with knew he had herpes and didn't tell her, and she took him to court and said, this is not okay. You have you have to divulge this stuff. And I think part of it is people don't tell for all the obvious reasons. Nobody wants to, you know, put it on Match.com. Hi, I'm here and I have herpes. But having said that, there is a responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the part of the problem is it's not that there's a complacency, but people do like, just like Charlie, say, well, you know, my counts were really low. I'm taking my antiretrovirals. And while certainly these are game-changing drugs in terms of dramatically reducing the risk, it doesn't eliminate the risk. And, you know, my feeling, of course, is that you have a responsibility to tell your partners so that they can make an informed choice about if they want to go forward. And the other thing I'm always talking about that never gets any traction is the fact that, you know, women throughout history have depended on the guys. And I think it's time for women to step up and say, I'm going to protect myself. And there is a female condom. And there are ways that you don't have to rely on whether the guy is truthful. Because let's face it, they're not. They, you know, a lot of guys are. There are a lot of wonderful guys out there who do have these honest, difficult conversations. But I have just seen too many women in my practice who were told by a guy, I've been screened, I'm clean, and they end up with something that, in fact, the guy did know he had. Or sometimes not. I mean, I think that's the other piece of it, too, is there are a lot of people that are carriers of infections like herpes and HPV and HIV who simply don't know it. So it's a nasty, dirty world out there. You got to be safe.
Is the female condom as widely available as the male condom?
It's in the drugstores. It is not widely known. It is easily available. It's called the FC2 condom, made right here in Chicago.
All right.
Who knew? Who knew? Yeah, and it's actually very popular internationally. They use it a lot in developing countries for HIV protection, and women are not aware of it, and it is something that you got to try it a few times to get the hang of it. Don't try it the first time when you're in the throes. You got to practice at home a little bit. But the thing is not only is it protective like the male condom, but it's actually even more protective because there's a ring that covers the external genitalia of a woman so that things like herpes and HPV that is from skin-to-skin contact, you actually get additional protection. And bonus, it even increases sensation for
is
women.
Is that right?
And it also provides lubrication and protects the vaginal wall. So it's one of those things that I'm trying to get the word out there because it is available. It's in the drugstores. It's in the condom aisles. But women just don't know about it.
Is it priced roughly the same, or is it more expensive?
It's expensive. Yeah. I haven't priced it lately. I think it's, what, $3 or $4 for a single-use condom? I could be wrong on that. But it's not inexpensive. But, heck, if it's a lot less expensive than a trip to the gynecologist, you have your warts burned off, just saying.
Right. Okay, speaking of increased female libido, I like how you look at me and say, how much does it cost now? I'm not sure. But
I think she did after she said burning the warts off.
No, she said, how much does it cost now? And yeah, I don't know. Speaking of increased female libido, you are fresh off of Capitol Hill. Flibanserin has been approved, and that's I would expect it to be flying off the shelves. All your patients are saying, Dr. Stryker, I need a prescription for flibanserin. Not so much.
Not so much. Not even close. In fact, there was an article yesterday, I think it was in Time, about comparing it to when Viagra was released. And of course, you know, men could not buy it fast enough. And there were hundreds of thousands of prescriptions that had been filled at this point. And flibanserin were in the hundreds. Very, very few. Personally, I have written a handful. And the fact that I've only written a handful when I'm the one who sees many patients who have sexual issues and I've been out there talking about it. So, no, it is not flying off the shelves. And quite frankly, I'm not all that surprised, and I don't expect it to fly off the shelf. It's an expensive medication. It's not always covered. Unlike Viagra, it is something that needs to be taken every day, and it doesn't even work for 4 to 6 weeks. Many women are concerned about the precautions about alcohol, which have been overstated by the FDA, and those of us in the world know that the majority of the women in the clinical trials were social drinkers and had no problem. But I think you put all of those things together, and women are saying, I don't know if I want to sign up for this. The other piece of it is how many women really care? You know, there have been studies that say 40% of women over all age groups have issues with sexual function and libido. But then there's another study that came out of Harvard a few years ago that said only about 12% of women care enough to want to address it, do something about it, take a medication. So I think you put all those factors together and it's not going to be a bestseller.
And take a medication every day.
Take it
this
every day.
This isn't just one and done.
That's right. And one of the reasons I was so outspoken about flibanserin and wanting the FDA to approve it is, first of all, I do think it's a safe drug. I think it's fine. I think there's no reason it shouldn't be approved. There are a lot of other drugs out there that are far more dangerous that got approved very easily. But for me, this is really more about paving the way for women's health, to say that there's been a disparity between male sexual health and female sexual health. There are a lot of other really good drugs in the pipeline. And my concern was that if the FDA said no to flibanserin that these other companies would say, we're not going to keep pouring millions into this and we're going to stop development of these drugs. So I still think it was an appropriate approval. I think the FDA did the right thing to approve it, but I don't think we're going to see this stuff lying off the shelf.
And talk to your doctor about it, too.
And talk to your doctor about it, yeah.
Dr. Lawrence Stryker is with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more. Hang out with us, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. It's 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio, in for Steve Cochran, and yet another hey, Maximus, who was smart enough to pick this as a song that makes them happy?
I believe we just got a text from the 847, no name attached, but quality fly jam right here.
Quality, quality fly jam. As fly as you can get. All right, we're wrapping up the show here and wrapping up things with Dr. Lawrence Stryker, and there are many other things to talk. But Lauren, by the way, before we jump back into it, do you have a song that makes you happy? Like if you hear a song,
you know, pretty much any Beatles song makes me happy.
Good answer.
Anything I can sing along to, and there aren't that many things I know the words. It's one of those things I just don't remember words to songs, but Beatles songs I know the words, so that makes me happy.
Tell Nick, speaking of that, tell Nick, Nick's a diehard Blackhawks fan.
Mm. No.
Come on, this is so funny. You went to your first
sporting
event.
Okay, so I'm really not a sports person. Mm. I'm more of a opera, ballet, theater person, but a very dear friend invited me to go to a Blackhawks game, but it was in advance and I kind of forgot, and I texted my daughter on the way and I said, I'm going to a basketball game, because you know, it's all very confusing. You know? So I got there, and to my credit, I really figured it out within a few minutes that this was not Blackhawks, it was basketball. And I told her it was Blackhawks and it was basketball. And then it turned out it was basketball. So I texted my daughter back and said, no, 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 it's not hockey, it's basketball. And she said, oh, no, does that mean you wore the wrong jersey?
And what did you say? Do you think I own a jersey?
You think I own a jersey?
Yeah. If you don't know what the sport is, I doubt you're going to have a jersey.
But it was
for
fun. We ate great food. We had some nice wine. We chatted. Right. There was the game going on.
Isn't that fun?
I loved intermission, otherwise known as halftime.
Intermission, yeah.
Intermission. It was great. It was great fun.
You can have a good time at the United Center and not even know there's a sporting event going
on. That's pretty much my experience.
We're taking you to a Blackhawks game. That's going to be our mission.
I'm in. I'll wear the right jersey.
They play that one on ice.
On ice.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
All right, we got to ask you, too. This is the end of the year. I know everybody's trying to get their last-minute doctor's appointments, and you're being bombarded, and people's benefits are changing like crazy.
Every December is somewhat of a disaster because everyone wants to get in. They've met their deductible. All of a sudden, people are calling me up and saying, hey, you know that hysterectomy we've been talking about all year? Can we do it next week because I've met my deductible? But the other thing that's happening is there are hundreds of thousands of people in the Chicagoland area who got this love letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield saying, guess what? Your doctor at Northwestern or University of Chicago or a few other area hospitals are not going to be included in your plan anymore as of January 1st. So we are getting inundated from patients who are saying, I have to get in. I can't see you after January 1st. I'm stuck in this plan. And it's a problem because, of course, we'd like to accommodate everybody. But, hey, you know, it's December. We've already booked. We've got people who are home from vacation. We have all the teachers, of course, who come in every December, the deductibles, you know, all this, not to mention doctors do go on vacation.
Yeah.
So it's been a rough time. And I think if you are in that group who is trying to get in, you know, make that phone call, try and get in on a cancellation, but it's tough. And the Blue Cross Blue Shield thing is going to be a huge problem for a lot of people.
There's never a good time to be in the hospital. But is there a best time to be in the hospital if you're talking about like getting the best quality care?
Well, let's put it this way. Who's working in the hospital on Christmas Day? Well, the Jews, of course, so that's fine. But it's the Jews and the newbies, you know. It's who's the lowest on the totem pole as far as time off. And it is a skeleton staff. So when people say to me, I'd like to have my surgery the day before Christmas because I don't celebrate Christmas, so I think that'd be a terrific time to have my operation. Yeah, I mean, the truth is at a major medical center, you're going to get good care. Right. You know, it's not like bad things are going to happen. But the staff is going to generally be people who really kind of don't want to be there on that day. So I would not elect to have surgery there. You know, we always talk about July 2 when the new residents come. Which is not as dangerous as people think because the attendings know it's July. And if anything, we're there more, keeping an eye on everything very closely. So, yeah, stay out of the hospital if you
can. I was in the hospital earlier this year. And it was late June, early July.
Yeah.
And when I got out, I had heard that. You know, I had great care when I was in the hospital, but I had heard that like early July.
Right. People talk about it, but yeah, the truth is you're going to get great care pretty much any time. But there are a few times of the year when maybe you wouldn't choose.
Go over your benefits too. And we want to, I know we're running out of time, but we want to talk to you real quick too about, a lot of news this week about the first major successful face transplant.
Face transplant, yes.
Now there's could possibly be uterus transplant.
Well, that's right. The face transplant was successful, which really, I mean, this was enormous for this poor guy who couldn't even go out into public, and now he has a face. For years, there's been talk about uterine transplants for women who either had to have a hysterectomy, who are young women, or who are born without a uterus. And there hasn't been a big push because, quite frankly, a uterus is not an organ that you need to survive. So the organs that get transplanted are things like kidneys and livers that you can't live without. But there is a push, and there are some scheduled uterine transplants scheduled. And I have mixed feelings about this. I kind of feel like, you know, this idea that you have to carry your baby to love your baby. I mean, ask any adoptive parents. Ask any dad. You know, dads love their children. They didn't carry them. And there are ways for people to have biological children without personally carrying them using, you know, gestational carriers or surrogates. So, and I think that it is dangerous. There are a lot of potential complications, and the complications are not just complications that the mother is taking. It's that the passenger, if you will, the baby, is taking. If there are problems with growth problems or preterm delivery or miscarriage. So I think it's interesting. I think sometimes we have to really closely look at what we can do. Is it necessarily what we should be doing? Stay tuned on this one. I think we're all kind of looking to see what happens.
Stay tuned. Okay. And plug your book, too. Get your
Sex
book.
Sex RX, Hormones Health and Your Best Sex Ever. If you're looking for that early Christmas gift, everyone should have it.
Right. And Love Sex Again?
Actually, that was the original title. It's Sex RX.
Oh, you changed it.
You changed the title.
Oh.
So that's a whole other discussion. But Sex RX, Hormones Health, and Your Best Sex Ever.
Oh, that's great.
And get the female condom made right here.
Yes.
FCT
in Chicago.
Condom in Chicago. Frango Mints and female condom. They go together great.
There you go. All right. Frango Mints.
One could be a stocking stuffer.
Right.
Yeah, stocking stuffer.
Stocking
there you
stuffer
go.
Is from
all right,
Chicago.
Save that name. Dr. Lauren Stryker, thank you. It was great to meet you.
Great to meet you.
All right, we'll take a break here. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran on WGN. Hey, hi, how you doing? I can't get this. This thing is not working.
Oh, okay. That's that sticky button.
It's the
again.
Sticky button.
It's the sticky button.
Yeah, that's why we were on there. Okay, hi. Okay. Hi, it's Nick DiGilio. And I'm leaving.
That was fun today. Nice job,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good times.
Thank
good
you.
Times.
I had a great time. And Steve Cochran will be back tomorrow morning. It was fun filling in. I will be back on my show tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. For a Thursday morning show.
And you were great with the lady doctor interview, by the way.
Yeah, you know.
Very fun.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a vagina or a girlfriend. So that's why I wanted to stay.
So well.
I wanted to steer as clear away from that as possible. It's clearly
right,
a topic.
As soon as you said that, the lights on the Christmas tree just went
they
on.
They did light. Well,
in
is
the
that
studio.
Right?
As soon
very...
as you said, I don't. Well, you know what you said.
I have a vagina. I stuttered on that.
Wait, hold on. Where did that come from?
Where is she?
I'm upstairs today with Steve Bertrand. Bill's off this week, and you guys are getting the studio decorated from Tree Time.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're up in the studio that I use every night.
Yeah, it smells like you, and that's not a bad
thing.
Well,
I wasn't there last night, so it wasn't me. So there you go. It smells like James Van Osdell. That's what it smells like.
A little patchouli-like.
That's certainly not me. Absolutely.
I heard you talking to John Weideman today. Pretty exciting. The circus road trip, or as I call it, the circus tour, because I'm such a rock and roller. We're going to talk to Jamal Mayers. He's coming in the studio to talk about this awesome book, One Goal Three.
Yeah, he's the king.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a fun trip. They needed those two wins. They needed those 4 points.
It's like a spring break for them, you know, where they're all together and they all bond, order pizzas.
It is, but it's a spring break for them. But you know, a lot of people take time off during that time and could go to the UC to see a game. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but can't you just go there and watch it on the big Jumbotron or whatever it is?
I guess. Yeah, it's not the same.
It's sure not. No. All right. Well, you did a great job.
Thank you, Wendy.
And I think
keep Bertrand in check, will you? For God's sake.
Hey, shut your face, will you?
What?
Oh my God!
All right, I'm coming up there right now.
Show?
I'm coming up there right now, pal.
Please do.
Yeah, and Steve, don't mess up my studio.
I'm so glad this is a James Van Osdell aroma because I wasn't sure what it was.
I love that there's a bathroom up here. Although I will tell you, I at home installed the slow close toilet lids. So when I went to put the lid down, it slammed so hard. So I apologize.
No, we heard it all.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Watch that first step.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good one,
Nick. All right. Take care. Have a good show.